Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, three knots where we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off from mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Ye, 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 king shall seize the turbo! All rise for king shall seize the turbo and the knights of the round table!
have been mysteriously carved into huge stones in Georgia, and they call for the death of over 90% of the world's population. The stones were erected in 1980 off a highway in Georgia in the USA. They say they were created by R.C. Christian, which they say is a fake name right below that. And then they also say that they are created by, quote, a small group of Americans who seek a new age of reason. No one really knows why these stones were made, and why they just mysteriously appeared in a completely random spot. The true intentions of these creators still remain elusive. The stones have 10 guidelines, which are somewhat like commandments, carved into them, which they say will lead humanity into a, quote, new age of reason. The first of their guidelines, which is also the creepiest and perhaps the most mysterious, is, quote, to maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. That would eliminate about 90% of the world's population. The stones have their guidelines carved into 8 different languages around them, as if what they say is so important that everyone in the world, no matter the circumstance, should be able to read them. Some believe the stones were created as a means for guiding humanity after some sort of apocalyptic scenario. Others believe they were created by a satanic cult that wishes to establish a sort of new world order. The stones were actually vandalized in 2003 due to this belief, apparently. Go deeper into the rabbit hole. Subscribe and discover more mysteries that you probably shouldn't. You can also become a part of...
The more people who are involved in a conspiracy, the greater the odds are of that conspiracy getting exposed. That's human nature. That's why clandestine operations are compartmentalized, so no single person or group of people really understand what they're working on. They are pieces of a larger whole which they don't quite comprehend. That's how the Manhattan Project stayed secret for so long, and that's how the elite get away with their operations today. But recently, Dr. David Grimes has published a paper allegedly proving that conspiracy theories don't add up by using math and statistics. The corporate state media picked up on the paper, and every so-called skeptic has been sharing the findings as if it were definite proof. So let's take this apart. The paper is called On the Viability of Conspiratorial Beliefs and was published in the open access peer-reviewed journal PLOS1. This paper may be the best example of why peer-reviewed doesn't equal scientific proof. Ignoring the argument of compartmentalization, the basic premise is that if man-made climate change is false, or if vaccines weren't safe, or that if there was a cancer cure that is purposely covered up because it's not patentable, if those things were true, so many people would have to be in on it that leaks would occur and the conspiracy would be exposed. Here's the problem. One would want to select numerous examples of existing theories, theories of different sizes and durations, and plot them all on a chart. To be truly objective and research-orientated, one would want to have a lot of data points. If you did this, you may even see a pattern between the number of people involved and the months it took before someone exposed the conspiracy. The actual paper, however, only uses 3 examples and extrapolated from that. They were the NSA's PRISM program, the Tuskegee syphilis experiment, and the inaccuracy of many FBI forensic tests. Another problem arises, since the number of people involved with these affairs is unknown. Grimes just guesses, putting the number of people involved with the NSA at 30,000. In reality, the prison program could have involved just 100 people, or even as little as 10. The data points Grimes used were completely useless. He didn't use enough examples, and the few he did use were not reliable. What's missing is data on conspiracies that have remained secret. Not to mention, two of the three conspiracies he picked were before the internet era, omitting a rather major variable. There also weren't any small conspiracies in his paper, just three examples of big institutional affairs. All three are also based in the United States, with two of them in spying agencies, where secrecy is a part of their job. From these bad examples, Grimes calculates the likelihood of someone in the conspiracy blabbing about it and exposing the operations. In a given year, Grimes calculates this at about 0.5/10,000%. This is ridiculous. If this minuscule, quantum-sized number was true, we wouldn't have the word gossip in the dictionary. No one would ever spread rumors or talk about people behind their back. There wouldn't be criminal laws and common law offenses regarding conspiracies. This is just one of the problems of equating mathematics with human action. People don't act like numbers in an equation. This is one of the reasons mathematical economics has been such a dismal failure. Real-life examples have already disproven Grimes' paper. The email leak from the University of East Anglia, which exposed fraudulent practices in climate change science, is a perfect example. As well, Grimes did not account for any deaths in his math. Some people naturally die off, taking knowledge of the conspiracy to their grave, or they are killed to keep the conspiracy from becoming exposed. Like Lee Harvey Oswald's murder as he was being taken away by police, telling the TV cameras, "I am just a patsy." The CIA have now admitted they withheld information about the JFK assassination from the Warren Commission. The static population assumption in Grimes' paper shouldn't have been ignored if this was truly a scientific paper on the nature of conspiracy theories. Perhaps the real conspiracy is why this bad paper was hailed as science, while real exposed conspiracies, the ones that become less important to conceal years after they happen, are neglected. This just goes to show that the so-called skeptic community can be just as dogmatic as the rest of us. Nobody is immune to ideology. The key is being able to keep an open mind and revise your beliefs when necessary. There wasn't much of that in this paper. This was just bad science, coupled with confirmation bias. Thanks for watching, stay vigilant, and as always, my friends, press for truth.
Hello everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table on www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat and become one of the honorary knights, jump over there to www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html, where you can have the opportunity to talk to two separate chat rooms at the same time. So, with that said, played a couple podcasts here just moments ago on conspiracies such as like the Georgia Guidestones, and you know, this world that we live in is a real mess. I spent a lot of time watching and observing people and the way that they act, and you know, just human nature in general on how certain circumstances play out and such. Yesterday I spent probably several hours watching different videos out there where people were just beating each other up. You know, the bullies getting beat up, and everybody else, you know, innocent people getting beat up, cops getting beat up, people getting beat up, everybody's running around beating each other toothless. And as I'm trying to weed through this whole mess that we call the Matrix, life in general, or, you know, the propaganda, or mainstream, or alternative media, or just all of it, you know, put it all on the table and look at it. You know, it's not even organized chaos. It's just a complete and utter mess, what we see going on in society today. You know, Paul Harvey did a deal back in 1965 saying, if I was the devil, I think I'll just go ahead and look and see if I can find this, and just throw it on there real quick and just listen to what Paul Harvey said in 1965.
If I were the Prince of Darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
Now, that was written in 1965. Aired out over the airways in 1965. Now you tell me, here we are in the year 2016, if he didn't nail it right on the head. You know, just the mere thought of somebody posting the, you know, Georgia Guidestones, and I think they said eight separate languages that pretty much talks about, you know, getting rid of 90% of the world's population and being able to sustain Earth's natural balance and such. Just a mere thought of somebody saying something like that is very disturbing, because that means that 90% of all the world's population have to die. And I think back when yesterday when I was looking through all these videos and I was watching these kids beat each other up and adults beat each other up and thinking about everything and just checking out human nature in general, I don't believe, and nobody will ever be able to convince me, that man is evil by nature. I believe that man has been given free will. I believe we have a choice whether to do good or whether to do bad. And in today's society, modern day media, video games, books, whatever, pretty much promote and glorify things that are violent. Glorifies fighting, all-star wrestling, MMA fighters, and so on and so forth, and you know, all kinds of combat and running around shooting up everything. And then out the other side of their neck, the mainstream media talks about gun control. You know, oh, well, we got to get rid of the guns so we can get rid of the violence. How about you start with education first? How about you start by educating the population that these things that you've been pumping out to them forever and a day under the guise of entertainment isn't the way to go? You know, if you take a walk through any shopping center down there and go through the toy section, you'll actually find little soldier uniforms and guns and helmets and stuff like that. Now keep in mind, they'll put like red tips on the end of the gun so that there's not an accidental shooting, but nonetheless it's still glorifying to the child to be a soldier is a wonderful thing. You know, it's a patriotic thing to be a soldier. And I'd venture to say that the majority of the children who have these toys in their possession and actually play Army Man don't really realize the full implication. Sure, they know about, you know, life and death such, but it's not... The reality hasn't really set in that, you know, when you take somebody's life, it's permanent. It's not just a momentary deal and then your buddy gets up and you start playing again, you know, and next time he's the bad guy or you're the good guy, one vice versa. You know, in war, they say that war is hell. And it's true. I'm sure that every veteran out there who's ever been out into a militarized zone, actual on the front lines or whatever, can tell you that it's not a pleasant place to be. The smell of death and blood and gunpowder and just whatever. It's just it's not a place that you want to be. It's not a place that you want your children to be. But these things are glorified in the mainstream media via alternative media, entertainment, whatever. You would be surprised, maybe not, but maybe you would be surprised to see how many numbers, how many views of people fighting each other and beating each other till they're bloody, that people actually watch this stuff. Now granted, I spent probably a couple hours watching this stuff yesterday. For research purposes, I'm trying to get some sort of idea what this whole mess is all about. And when you talk about conspiracies, that the possibilities that governments could be corrupt and doing the things that they're doing and having like Agenda 21s where they want to depopulate the planet or, you know, kill off people or enslave them or whatever. Looking back through history, it's not hard to find conspiracies everywhere. But the easiest way to stop somebody from believing in a conspiracy theory is to train them to believe that whoever talks about it is just stupid. You know, they got a tinfoil hat on and such. But in reality, people have conspired throughout the history of time to do all kinds of terrible things to one another. You know, they've conspired to hide technologies that would, maybe make life better for a lot of people, but yet it would make them less money, so they didn't want that to be out there on the market yet, unless they were in control of that particular technology. But still, after all of this stuff, I still can't believe that, you know, human nature is of a violent nature. I can't believe that, every person out there is bad. Now, there are some incidents in some of the videos that I watch where one could be, even if you were a creationist, could actually believe that man evolved from ape, because that's exactly what they acted like as they were jumping around and squawking and screaming and punching each other. And you know, it reminded me of a scene from the zoo, you know, when one monkey gets mad because the other one got some food that the other one wanted, you know. The animalistic mentality just took over, and people are running around and laughing and jumping and screaming, ah ha ha ha, you know, it's all fun and games. Somebody's getting their face punched in, you know. You got knocked the bleep out. It's really disheartening to see what's going on out there today. You know, there's all kinds of people out there that some may just be individuals that love controversy. Some may be individuals that love drama, and they love the excitement of it all, you know. We're going to go over and we're going to kick this guy's butt, you know. Or just the average bully who, just because he's big and he wants to be, you know, the top dog of the log, will run around and beat up those who are weaker than him. You never see a bully run over and fight somebody who's bigger than him or her. They always find the little guy. Somebody who can't necessarily fight back as well. And history's littered with bullies. History's littered with people that hated other people because of their race or their religion or their beliefs of any kind, their political views. So how do you weed through the matrix? How do you find out what is what and where is the truth? You know, there's people out there that labeled themselves as truthers that supposed to be out seeking the truth. But if you can find the truth in this mess that we call the internet, or this mess that we call the world, you're really good at research. You're really good at putting two and two together and finding the facts. Because there are literally groups of individuals out there who will literally manipulate facts just to start some sort of drama, some sort of movement, or some sort of hoax, or whatever you want to call it, or even just to come to some sort of agenda, to actually get their agenda through. You know, there's a word out there called destabilization, where they want to overthrow a specific government, and so they will send agitators into this government to start spreading rumors, the whisper campaigns, to actually get these individuals to get other individuals to get mad about something until they're so mad that they become violent and they decide to overthrow their government. It's a tactic being used in warfare in many nations as we speak. Who's to say that here in the United States that isn't what's going on? You know, maybe Russia, maybe China have conspired behind the scenes to actually get Americans to hate their government so bad that they'll overthrow their government because they're fed up with the way that the government's treating them. Maybe it ain't Russia at all. Maybe it ain't China. Maybe it's our own government doing it. Maybe it's North Korea. Maybe it's Canada. Who knows? The reality of the thing is that there's a lot of chaos going on here in America. There's a lot of chaos going on all over the world. And the seed of doubt has already been planted out there. So Pandora's box is open. You can't pull this all back. You can't stop the conspiracy once it is left the box. And knowing that you can play on heartstrings and manipulate people's minds by propagandizing them is one of the tools that's been used throughout the entire duration of all of this. In every conflict, every single war. You drop a whole bunch of flyers over a population and tell them, if you surrender in peace, we'll feed you. If not, your government's going to kill you and such. You know, lies and whatever it takes to win the war. We've seen this throughout the entire history of mankind. You know, in Revelations, in the book that a lot of people despise, it says, in the last days there will be wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence and so on and so forth. Earthquakes in diverse places. And pretty much sure looks like what I've seen here today. So, you know, maybe somebody a couple thousand years ago and throughout the history of time conspired to bring about a self-fulfilled prophecy where mankind literally destroys itself. Or maybe they were even just some words of wisdom that were put down and saying, look, this is what happened in the past, and you might not want to repeat these things because this is what will happen in the future if you go down this road. Y'all was around a couple thousand years ago, so I couldn't tell you, and I wasn't there whenever thing was being written, so I couldn't tell you. All I have to base any of my opinions or ideas or decisions or, you know, action on is what I've learned throughout my entire life. And some would say, well, you know, been to government school, so you've been indoctrinated. It's a conundrum. It's an enigma. It's a riddle within a riddle, without no answer, without no end. Is this what the future of humanity holds? Is this it? Is this the singularity that we're all heading towards? That we get so intelligent that we basically destroy ourselves? Is this why there are certain people in society that believe that we should just stay with nature and just leave technology alone and not even try to make any advancements or strive for space? And if we did strive for space, would we go to another planet and do the same exact thing? Would we repeat this process over and over and destroy the entire galaxy, if it even exists? Is the Earth flat? Is the Earth round? Have we been to space? Have we not been to space? Is there a one world government, a conspiracy to overtake all of mankind, or not? If you look out there and you watch and you pay attention to what's going on in this world and you just watch people and just listen to what they got to say, the way that they talk to one another, how fast that people will jump on a bandwagon of any kind. You know, they'll choose sides, people against people. Racism and hate and lies and propaganda. Sometimes just all in all out fun, sometimes just all in all out rudeness, sometimes it's just to see who can top the next guy and be the toughest and the rudest that there is. You know, a lot of people out here want to see some sort of resolution to all the problems that exist in this world today. In my point of view, none of this resolution is ever going to come about until we all come to a general understanding that we can't do this alone. This is something that we all have to come to an agreement that war is hell. And we shouldn't be killing one another. We shouldn't be tearing up the land. We should be taking care of nature. We should be using everything that we've learned thus far to use our resources responsibly. And to treat each other with humanity. You don't have to like the person. You don't have to believe what they believe. You don't have to like their political views. You don't have to like their religious ceremonies or anything. But what you do have to do, whether you like it or not, is you have to stand on the same planet that they are. Sure, you could kill them. You could put them in the ground. But I just made you just the same as, or worse, as the person that you didn't like. You know, there's a phrase, stoop to their level, you know. Would you stoop to their level? Or would you stand the high moral ground, even if it cost you your life? In my view, nobody has the right to take your life. No other man has the right to do any harm to any individual out there. And even the bully, when you watch these fights between the bully and the victim, at what point is enough enough? At what point does the victim become the bully? You know, we talk about police and excessive force. You're only supposed to use the amount of force that it takes to overcome your attacker, your assailant, or the criminal or whatever. But at what point does it become cruel and unusual punishment to literally beat somebody into the point where they're nearly dead? Brain damage? I say that this world has a common sense crisis, that we need to figure out a way to bring about common sense to the average Joe. But maybe the average Joe hasn't reached that stage of enlightenment that would make them understand that the world doesn't revolve around their little bubble that they've created, their own little piece of heaven, their own little utopia. Maybe the fact that there's other people on this world doesn't matter. As long as I've got what I've got, as long as I get mine, I don't care about anybody else. I can't find too many people out there in this world who would literally go walk by somebody who was starving to death without offering to give them something. I can't find too many people out there in this world who would walk away from somebody who was in need of any sort. You know, you do see a lot of people walking past homeless guys, because it's been put out there that says that, you know, oh, well, if you give that homeless guy food, he's just going to buy drugs with it. Or if you give him money, he's just going to buy drugs with it. So you see a lot of that. Maybe that's not the case. Maybe that person wasn't going to buy drugs with that. Maybe they weren't going to buy alcohol. Maybe they were truly starving. And maybe in an alternate world, you were that person standing there holding that sign saying you needed help. Or maybe the guy was just lazy and didn't want to work. Figured he'd play on the sympathies of everybody else. The whole key to all this is there is no answer. At this point in the game, there is no answer to there's no solution, there's no resolution to how to heal the pains of the past, to how to get the individuals out here in this world to come together and understand that if we don't take care of one another, that we're all going to suffer. It's not just one individual that suffers in war. It's not just one nation that suffers in war. It's all nations that suffer in war. It's all of humanity that suffer in war. Whatever you do to somebody on the other side of the planet, those ripples in that pond come back to you. And sometimes, many times over. You go and bomb a nation, and then you create a crisis where now you have refugees that want to go somewhere besides where the bombs are. Same thing that you would do if you were in their situation. Get your family out of harm's way. We've got to be really careful about the politicians that we allow to go represent us before our congresses and our senates and our parliaments. We got to be really careful about the things that we buy, the knowledge of where it came from. Who had to suffer to bring whatever it was that you paid for to you? I posted a couple links over there at ShazizRadio.com in the superchat.html, and it's very interesting. One of them, just a little cartoon about man, and it shows man from the time that man come around and all the things that man did to nature, stomping on bugs all the way up to, you know, basically he's at the top of a trash heap and he's got a crown on his head. I think Metallica has a song out there called King Nothing. If you blow it all up and, you know, you're the victor, you're the last man standing, and you're the king of what, you know? King of the trash heap, king of nothing. For the most part, I'm preaching to the choir. A lot of individuals agree. They understand that this world is messed up. We want to do something about it. My only solution is my faith in my Lord. That's not good enough for others. Some would blame everything that mankind has done on God. If God was so wonderful, why would he do these? Why would he allow these terrible things to happen in this world? Well, if you read the book, you'd understand that the Ten Commandments said, "Thou shalt not kill." It didn't say no if, and, or, subsection A, article B, under fine print C, or whatever. It just said plain and simple, "Thou shalt not kill." Just like our Constitution over here in the United States says, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Didn't say unless, or if, and, or. Didn't say none of that. And words have meanings. Words have a purpose. So, where do you go with all this? How do you take all this knowledge, and how do you try to make something better in this world? The only power that you got is the powers that you carry around with you. Your voice, your actions. You. You treat people the way you want to be treated. You help you educate your communities. You point them in the right direction, and you stand up against tyranny and whatever's wrong. Not everybody's brave enough to stand up against the bad guy. But standing together with your neighbors and their friends and so on and so forth, and everybody's standing together and saying to the bad guy, "Look, we're not going to tolerate this. We'd prefer that you just not do it. Otherwise, there'd be consequences." Now, I've listened to other show hosts, and I've listened to other people say terrible things. Like, you just gotta kill them. That's the only way to get it done. You just gotta kill them. How does that make you any different? You know, there's a saying out there, "I'm as good as the best and better than the rest." Sometimes it's hard to get a grip on the information being presented to you. It's hard to get a decent understanding of what in tarnation people are thinking. What kind of mentality does it take to sit down and write and then carve it into stone? Words that says that 90% of the population have to go in order for humanity to be able to survive. Let's say hypothetically the planet was overpopulated, or at least getting there. and you really cared enough about humanity that you'd actually start doing the research, and space really existed, and we would actually go out and we'd populate other planets, and we'd take good ideas and peace and love with us. And we expanded out. That's the best case example that I could think of. You know? Look, it's getting crowded over here. There's a really nice planet over there. Who wants to, you know, volunteer to go create a new world? That kind of thing. You can sit around and talk about common sense, but to teach common sense is the trick. You lead by example. Otherwise, you don't lead at all. And some of the examples of our representation that we've got out here in the world, it's pitiful. Pitiful at the very best. I just... I watch all this stuff going on out there. I watch all the sickness, and I watch all the misery, the violence. And I can't blame it on God. I can't say, you know, what God was such a wonderful soul and all loving, why would he allow this stuff? Because we're given a choice. You know, when the father leaves the house, the children are told there are certain things you're not going to be doing while I'm gone. Keep everybody safe. Keep the house in order. No, there has to come a time when humanity has to show responsibility for their own actions. Each and every individual choice that people make out there in this world is their own choice. Nobody else is inside your head telling you this is what you have to do. Unless you want to jump into the conspiracy realm once again, where the government is basically mind-controlling the population to beat each other toothless. If indeed this is the case, and that's why everybody's beating themselves toothless, then maybe somebody needs to go over and pull the plug on whatever machine they're using to do so. Because this starts off at a young age. It doesn't just, it's not just adults out there fighting each other. It's children out there fighting each other. And everybody's always saying how much we got to protect the children, protect the children. How are you protecting the children when you got trash on TV for them to watch? When their little growing minds are being expanded by smut and hate and discontent and glorifying war and violence. It's just terrible. I would really not want to be a couple generations from now in society if we keep going the same direction that we're heading. Yesterday I was out and about and I witnessed this young kid in the driver's seat of a car which his parent was over trying to buy a Harley Davidson motorcycle from some individual. And as people were driving by, this little kid sticking his tongue out and throwing the sign of Satan up at everybody. It's cool, man. Ha ha, I'm a rebel, you know. Rock and roll. And then, in reality, did he even know what that was all about? Did he even know the significance behind the hand sign that he was throwing up and sticking his tongue out at him? And, you know, and did he even know the individual from the other side? Maybe that was offensive to that other individual. But to see the child's action is to see the parents in the same light. And hypothetically, if it wasn't the parent, then it had to been the children's friends that he hangs around with. Everything's learned from the time you're born. you teach people how to treat you, and other people teach everybody what's right and what's wrong. So this young man throwing up the devil sign and sticking his tongue out at just total strangers as they drove by. What if that total stranger was a wacko? What if that total stranger was upset and would get violent because he thought the kid was being a smart aleck? And another scene explodes, you know. If you pay attention long enough and you actually go out there in public and you just sit back and watch how people act, it's really disturbing. And watching people fighting one another, on one hand, in the back of your mind, you think, well, you know, that bully really deserved to get knocked out. But then on the other hand, at some point when the victim who beat up the bully doesn't stop and just goes on into just totally abusive actions towards him, becomes the bully, and it's not even the two that's actually fighting that's the most disturbing. It's those that are sitting around, standing around and watching and egging it on, jumping up and down and laughing like monkeys. The path for humanity doesn't look very good right now. It looks really kind of bleak. And you, the individual out there, have the power within your own community to set an example for others out there. You know, in the good book it says, in the last days, when it's all said and done, the meek shall inherit the earth. And my question's been many times, what kind of earth are they going to inherit? Because at this rate, it's being jacked up. The pollution, just all in all out raping of nature. You got sounding like a rant, sounding just like a person rant, sitting here ranting, going off it. There's so much information to get a grip on. The best case scenario would just be to walk away and stop saying anything. Don't even address it. But what happens when the wise man shuts up? What happens when the decent man no longer opens their mouth? What happens when all the good people of the world just throw their hands up and walk away? What are you left with? If the majority of society has become so deteriorated and desensitized to doing harm to one another, where does the world go from there? Would you want to live in that kind of world? Would you want your children to live in that kind of world? And after all that I've said, and after all I've talked about, and you sit there and you look at those Georgia Guidestones, one could almost sit there and contemplate why it would actually be justified to get rid of the majority of the population of this planet. But isn't that how the whole conspiracy thing works? Isn't that how propaganda works? To point it out, oh, look, all these people are so bad, we got to get rid of them, or they're eating up all this food and they're drinking up all this water. We got to get rid of them so the good people of the world can live. Well, I would submit to you that any people out there who would want to get rid of 90% of the population aren't the good people. In fact, I would venture to say even further that the 90% are the good people. And the 10% left over are the evil ones that want to sit there and enslave humanity. Because from that point on, those 10% can raise their children to believe anything that they want. And their children will become subjects and slaves to the society. Well, hello there, Steve.
Hey, Chavez, how you doing, mate?
Pretty good. You been listening in?
Yeah, well, it's Chinese New Year's here, so...
Chinese New Year?
Yeah.
Got parades going on?
Parades, banging drums, people running around in dragon costumes. It's hilarious.
So, what I've been talking about, essentially... I sat around, I watched, and I listened. I do this all the time. Every time I go into public, I pay attention to everything that's going on around me. I observe the way that people act and the way they treat each other. The way that children act in the store, you know, and the way that parents respond.
If what I was listening to was right, when you see somebody getting a beat down, you'll stand there and egg them on. You think that most of the population on the face of the planet should be wiped out, potentially reduced down to about 500,000, because then you can kind of tell them what to do, and there's not enough of them really to make a fuss about it. Am I right?
Well, that's pretty much what the Georgia Guidestones insinuates, that's the way to go.
Didn't someone blow them up?
No, they're still standing.
Hmm. Oh, well. But no, I kind of get your point that, you know, the majority of people that I've met in my life are not violent, psychopathic lunatics. But that's all we seem to hear about. They're the ones that are.
And therein lies the whole purpose of this show, is that the conspiracies out there, the propaganda, everything that's going on there. You know, people don't give you information unless they want you to see something in their way. And even myself, when I give information out there to people, I would like people to see my point of view on a thing. I would like them to see what the world could be like as opposed to what it is like or the path that we're on. So I'm not even impervious to, you know, spreading information out there. But I think the difference would be that I'm not trying to propagandize somebody into believing something. I want them to open their eyes and their ears, and I want them to pay attention and step back and look at the big picture. There's the difference. You know, I'm not trying to further an agenda that would basically say that, you know, like liberals versus conservatives or whatever, you know. It's my own agenda would essentially be that I want to live in a better world. I don't want to live in a rogue warrior society where everybody's running around killing each other.
You know? No, mate, you'd look terrible in leather trousers.
I probably would. You know, if I do have to go to Road Warrior Society, I want one of them little helicopters like that guy had in Mad Max.
Yeah, but he used to eat snakes, mate.
Well, you know, in that world, I guess a snake might look like a pork chop.
Probably, yeah.
But, you know, the whole concept of what's going on out there, weeding through the matrix is tough enough, you know. And understanding that, you know, people throughout history have sat there and they pointed out warning signs after warning signs. Look, we're going down this path. Paul Harvey, 1965, explained the world in 2016. You know, we see it all. We hear it all. And until people understand and come to the realization that, you know, everything we've done in the past as far as all the wars and the greed and the fighting over resources and such, and it didn't work. It didn't advance us as a society. And the conspiracies out there, you know, people have conspired from the dawn of time to get things done, you know. Sometimes they lied to get things done. Sometimes they actually, you know, framed somebody for something they didn't do in order to be able to get things done. And people were shot or killed, you know, whatever, in order to hide said conspiracy. You know, this isn't something that just come up. you know. And the word destabilization, we've seen it throughout the history of time. We see it in modern day time. You send some agitators into an area that you want to overthrow a government, and now start a whisper campaign that gets everybody arguing and fighting amongst each other, and bam, next thing you know, they're fighting, and we got to go in there and we got to rescue the good folks, so we got to go in there and bomb the bad folks in order to save the good folks, and you just tore their entire society apart.
Well, Shaziz, isn't it interesting that a lot of these people that keep harping on about destabilization, the ones that are usually part of a secret society with mottos like order out of chaos?
Yeah, it's ironic, ain't it?
Well, not really. It kind of shows you exactly who they are and what they're up to.
Well, you know, I sat there and I spent many hours watching yesterday. Now, I'm a peace loving guy, but I started googling up you know, cop gets beat up and bully gets beat up and all these different things, and I'm watching. I watched so many videos yesterday of people just beating the crud out of each other. And at what point does the person who was being bullied switch over to being the bully? You know, why, he just knocked the doggone dude out, but he didn't stop. He just keeps beating the living crud out of him. Some would say, well, that's justified. The other guy shouldn't have done that. But, you know, at what point is that tipping point between what's right and what's wrong? You understand what I'm saying? Your moral high ground. You defended yourself, but then you turn around and become the aggressor.
Well, you know, they said that the best way to never lose a fight is to never start one.
Yeah, I agree. But the most disturbing point about watching all those videos wasn't necessarily the fight in itself, which was bad enough. It was the reactions of all those who were standing around rooting for it. Like, okay, look, these two are beating each other up. Yeah. You know, and if there was ever a justification for the proof of evolution, that would be it. Because they were acting like sheer animals, jumping around. It sounded like chimpanzees, literally sounded like chimpanzees. You know how chimpanzees do that squawking thing? When one of them gets mad and they all get riled up because one got food that the other one wanted, and they all jumping around and raising a ruckus, that's what they sounded like. So if there was ever any evidence of evolution, then that was it, right there. That, you know, because you're acting like a monkey, literally.
Well, in fairness, is I did actually see a really funny YouTube video, it must have been about 5 years ago now, where you had chimpanzees in the forest banging sticks on the floor and screeching and shouting, and they overlaid one of the meetings of Congress on the subtitles.
Well, yeah, I can see it. You know, I can see it. Now, I'm a creationist. Everybody knows that. You know, I believe there's a divine creator. You know, I don't want to debate it, but that's just what I believe. But here as a creationist, if I'm sitting here looking at from the outside in at these fights and the way that people act around it, I can see where evolution would be possible. Because some folks just don't appear to have evolved to the point where they can be civilized with one another, and humanity gets caught up in the moment. You know, it's when somebody wants to be nice, they're nice, and when they want to be just a total whatever, there it goes. You see what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah, I kind of get what you mean. I mean, I've kind of trawled through LiveLeak and YouTube and Dailymotion, and there's kind of a lot of videos out there of people that are not really engaging their brain matter.
Yeah, there's a lot of those videos where people make the fail videos where they try to do something, you know, just totally crazy. You know, like the skateboarder who racks himself on the doggone railing that he's trying to slide down and wipes out and breaks his hand or his face or something. You know,
I mean, I do actually feel that it's justified that occasionally one of these people is going to end up in a compromising position that's going to make it very difficult for them to procreate in the future.
Yeah, so that That seed ain't planted out there and there ain't more crazy people running around.
It's the principle of idiocracy, really, isn't it? The intelligent people are not really producing sufficient numbers, but, you know, Trayvon in the trailer park has got four girlfriends.
Yeah. Well, you know, trying to make sense of all this is just, it's madness in itself. I call it, you know, it's a conundrum. It's an enigma. It's a riddle within a riddle without an answer, you know. Just a never-ending cycle of sheer madness when you try to look at the entire world out there. If you dare to go down the rabbit hole and look at all the different conspiracies that exist and weigh out all the evidence, you may never come back. Seriously, you may end up being so doggone paranoid that you just can't see straight. You'll be bunkering in and everything else. And there are literally government programs out there that do just that, to test reactions of people. They will actually do things to the general population to see what they would, how they would respond in an emergency situation. You know what I mean? Can you think of any examples where the government would do something stupid, you know, release some sort of virus or something in a, you know, not a life-threatening one, but something to, like a cold or something, to see how fast it spreads?
Well, in fairness, I can, because recently we've released documents by the British government under the Freedom of Information Act. They openly admit that over the United Kingdom in the 1970s, they released a number of viruses across populated areas just to see what it would do. Well, and my own eyes have seen on the M4 motorway that goes from Wales to London, I've seen military planes spraying the motorway. And that's in the last 10 years. Because I used to drive from Ireland to England and visit my family, because I don't really like people, you know, shoving guns in my face and intimidating me in airports and having a natural assumption that because I exist I could be a threat to anybody.
Yeah.
It seems to be the status quo now.
That's the whole thing. The whole society is fear-based society, to where, you know, you want to give up your freedoms for safety and such. But in reality, does the boogeyman even exist? You know, when you see the military planes spraying, the first question would come to my mind would be, do the ends justify the means? What these guys are doing, unbeknownst to the population out there, because they believe themselves to be so enlightened that they have to do these tests to see whether or not, you know, society would break down in certain ways and how to respond just in case, you know. Is this all for the benefit of society as a whole, or is it actually the whole Georgia Guidestones concept where we got to depopulate the planet anyway, so we might as well use them as guinea pigs in the process? You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are people out there that are good people, there are people out there that are bad people, and there are people out there that are just indifferent.
Well, my concern is this, that, you know, they got a phrase out there in the truther community saying asleep, you know, people are asleep, or they even call them sheeple or something like that, you know, is that there's not enough people out there asking these tough questions about, you know, and they say there's a lot more people waking up on a daily basis, but what does it mean to be awake, really? Because you're already in a society that is so doggone desensitized to all kinds of violence and craziness in this world. How do you fix something that's so doggone broken that looks like, to the average Joe looking in, unrepairable? How do you go about it, you know? There's got to be some point in the game where when you're driving the bus that you decide that you see danger ahead and you start putting on the brakes and you decide, oh, well, maybe we ought to go this way today instead of that. You see what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. It's a conundrum. I mean, as for creationism, I'm kind of in the same boat as you, where I do actually believe that there was some creation event, but I'm not sure about that, you know, guy in the fluffy cloud. I think it was probably more other races and other intelligences that kind of thought, well, those chimps are boring. Let's fiddle with the DNA and see what they do. See if they can blow themselves up within a couple of thousand years. That'd be fun to watch.
Well, that's a possibility. But here's the thing. At least you're a step further than somebody else because you're not willing to close your mind off to the possibilities of the guy in the fluffy cloud. I mean, maybe the Tooth Fairy exists, maybe the Tooth Fairy don't. But here's the key to the whole Tooth Fairy deal. All right? When the child loses the tooth and the mama tells the kid that, everything's going to be all right, you just put that tooth under your pillow and you'll get a surprise from the Tooth Fairy. Well, that kind of eases the pain of what the child is actually going through. So if it's good for the child to believe in the Tooth Fairy, and then the child wakes up and looks under the pillow and finds a quarter or a dollar underneath the pillow, and the child's all happy, done forgot about the misery of losing the tooth and such, could you understand why somebody in the past may have said, look, we'll put a divine creator in front of everybody. We won't tell them that maybe they were aliens, did DNA or whatever. We'll just tell them this because, if they believe that there's some sort of, possibility they're going to get in trouble for being bad, then they'll try to be good and so on and so forth. You see what I'm trying to point out here?
Yeah, well, I mean, most parents in the Western world are confirmed liars from the earliest ages.
Oh, yeah, Santa Claus, Tooth Fairy, Easter Bunny,
Oh, no, the Easter Bunny is real.
Really? Cool.
Or well, maybe I should just stop eating that cheese I find under the fridge, I don't know.
I might be a mouse dragging it out of your cupboard under the fridge.
Does Easter Bunny wear tie-dye and smoke really long cigarettes?
Oh, well, I don't know, unless he was born in the 60s.
No, maybe that was the cheese then. But, yeah, I mean, do we really need to live in the world where, people come home from work, they sit down, and they invite all sorts of violence and mayhem into the living room through the one-eyed god in the corner?
Well, that's essentially what they're doing. And when your children...
Even if it is a 50-inch, flat screen 4K one-eyed god.
The mainstream media/entertainment industry out there makes their money on all kinds of controversy, all kinds of violence. They promote it all the time. But then out on the other side of their neck, they try to push, gun agendas so that, we can end the violence. We could save the children. But go, like I said earlier in the show, go into your local shopping center and toy section and see there's army suits in there, there's police things, and there's guns and, toy grenades and stuff like that. And keep in mind, they make the guns so they got the safety tip on there, so hopefully the child won't get shot by somebody who thinks he's got a real gun or whatever. But either way, now you got the child playing Army Man, all right? Well, that seems harmless enough. Child playing Army Man, child playing cowboys and Indians, a child playing cops and robbers and stuff. But then you have to put yourself in the mind of that child. Does that child really understand what the actual severity of what it would be like in real life to be a police officer or a military guy or whatever? Do they understand? Of course they talk about, they know about, you shoot somebody, they die, they fall down, but then after a while they get back up and you play again. Well, in reality, there ain't no getting back up. Death is permanent. And so as a parent, would you want your child to be running around playing Army Man, thinking, it's all right, it's the American way, children will be children, without them having an understanding what the true meaning of life and death actually is, what it means to actually hold a weapon in your hand and take another individual's life? That's something that, once it happens, once you, the individual police officer or a military guy, actually have to physically take somebody else's life in their existence on this earth, then you have to be able to make your way through the consequences. You have to be able to resolve this in your mind that you just took another person's life. Now, the interpretation, which I can't even pronounce right now, of the whole deal, is that it was justified because this was the bad guy, or this was the enemy, so it was okay to kill him, you know, it's not a bad thing. You see what I mean?
Yeah, but when they kick down people's doors, I've known people with Asperger's syndrome, and then shoot them to protect them. That, to me, is a little bit too much.
Well, yeah.
I don't know if people have been looking in the news recently, but there was some girl with Asperger's that posted a load of YouTube videos about how her dog calms her down when she starts smacking herself in the head. And there was a call to the police, basically saying that she was under threat. So to protect her, they kicked the door in, and because she was holding a knife, they shot her. It's not really protection, is it?
No, it's not. And thinking of that whole entire scenario, you know, if she harmed herself, that's one thing, and somebody else harmed her on the guise of protecting her, that's a whole entire different deal. There should have been some way that you could physically disarm this person without doing any harm to them. You understand what I mean? It's like there has to be some way, you know, the child sitting there got a knife, you know, you would go through every single possible scenario, never even factoring in that you want to shoot this person, unless they were like running at you, you know, doing one of the eek things from like the Bates Motel kind of thing, and they were just so psychotic that they were going to kill anybody and everybody they could get their hands on. In that case, you have no choice. But in an instance where somebody's sitting there getting ready to commit suicide, they got a gun in their hand, and you just go ahead and shoot them anyway? It to me doesn't make any sense unless you exhausted every single possible scenario in order to get this person back to safety or common sense or something.
The sad thing is that most people in law enforcement agencies want to defuse a situation all around the world because they don't want to shoot people, because they know that when you destroy something else, it destroys a part of yourself. That's in human nature. Most people actually at some level understand that.
Yep.
That's why people, I mean, apart from the endorphins and the adrenaline and everything else that goes rushing through your body when you go into self-protection mode, there's a come down off of that where you feel really bad.
Yeah, and some people can't recover from that.
No. But, I mean, there's an example of, I think there was a couple of Scandinavian police on a subway in New York. And some guy starts giving it large and, you know, he's beating down on this other guy. So they grab him, they throw him on the floor, and they basically sit on him, calming him down. Not hurting him, but just restraining him, saying, look, you were just beating the living hell out of that guy. You know, you're going to have to sit here and wait for the police and answer to your actions. For whatever reason they were, we don't care. But you can't, we're not going to stand by and watch you beat somebody that's not capable of defending themselves.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that. So you're just going to have to wait here quietly, calm down, until the police arrive, and they will deal with it.
And that's understandable, and in my mind, that's the right thing to do. But when it was coming down to these bullies, you start off when you're watching these videos of a bully beating up on somebody and giving them a rash, and you feel bad for the victim. But then when you start seeing the other, when the tides turn, and then they're actually, after they've already put the person down and they can no longer take care of themselves, that would be the time to step back and leave it alone, but they didn't. They just continued on and just beated the living tar out of somebody almost to the edge of death or, you know, brain damage or something. Then you got, if you're a decent person, you start feeling bad for the bad guy. You know?
Well, I have to say, I saw one YouTube video where there's a guy in a local park, and he's having a row with this girl, and she keeps trying to walk away, and he keeps grabbing her and pulling her back, and he slaps her. Now, he made the mistake of slapping her in front of the women's world taekwondo champion. And she walked up to him and said, leave her alone. and he started, and he went to hit her. So she kicked him in the side of the head, and he got up about 5 minutes later and wobbled about a bit, and she just took the girl away and said, look, come on, we're going.
Well, see,
so there are good people out there.
That's a good example, though, because she gave him a dose of his own medicine and left it alone.
Yeah, this was the female version of Chuck Norris, I guess.
Yeah.
Why do people feel that violence is necessary? I mean, everybody's got angry and lashed out. I can't say there's many people I don't know that have thumped or punched somebody at some point. But most people don't make a habit of it, and they don't go out looking for it.
Well, that's my point, is that I believe that the 90% of the people out there are good people. And I know that everybody has the capability of being both good and bad. You know, that's human nature. That's the free will issue of the whole deal. But, you know, when you have people in groups or power or secret societies that use this human nature to literally play chess with humanity, you know. You want to get this set of people over here fighting so they'll overthrow this government? It's easy. Put a few agitators in the mix. You see what I mean?
Well, yeah, it's divide and conquer, isn't it? Order out of chaos.
Yeah, well, that in itself is probably one of the largest, not the largest, but one of the largest hindrance to society making any progress. You know, and the whole putting it on the doggone Georgia Guidestones that 90% of the population have to go, that to me, that type of mindset, that is a hindrance to society, because there's obviously going to be people out there saying, what kind of, you know, what gives you the right to say that 90% of the planet have to die in order for humanity to be good again? You know? Nobody has the right to take somebody else's life. Nobody has the right to abuse other individuals. You know,
according to the courts, it was justified in many, many cases.
Well, yeah, there's the war zones. There's collateral damage. You know, it's a shame that it happened, but we're not going to prosecute the ones that did it because, you know, it was a necessary evil. The ends justify the means, kind of thing. But once again, now you got people who have literally killed other people in representative positions, leaders of militaries, and so on and so forth. You know, I'm not under the delusion that the world is going to be all flowers and bunny rabbits and a wonderful huggy-kissy kind of world. I'm not under that delusion because humanity has made stupid mistakes since day one and continue to do so throughout the history of time. But at some point, what point is it that enough is going to be enough and people start to be accountable for their own actions and raise their family's responsibility when the trash comes on TV? They either change the channel or they turn the TV off and take their kid out to play baseball or something. You see what I mean?
I turned my TV off. I took it to the dump.
Well, that's a good place for it sometimes. You know,
I sat there one day, and I thought, this is the biggest load of rubbish I've ever seen in my life. And in fairness, I suppose I'm not totally free of the propaganda, because I have the internet. But this box in the corner of the living room that seemed to consume the majority of my life no longer really held any appeal to me, so I got rid of it, and it was as easy as that.
Well,
I like entertainments and I like distractions, so I got a projector, like a beamer. So at the time, before I moved away, if I wanted to watch something, I'd watch it that was 8 foot wide and 5 foot high.
That's cool.
But it would only be maybe once a week, maybe once every, maybe twice a week, a movie worth watching. And it was there purely as entertainment, not as instruction, not as anything other than just distraction. But the adverts and the constant fear-mongering and the news, I mean, I don't even bother paying much attention to the news anymore. I just skim the headlines and see what propaganda they're throwing at us today, because it's rubbish.
Well, sex and violence seems to be the highlight of the mainstream media / entertainment industry. And, you know, people got to understand that this stuff has a trickle-down effect. It bleeds right down to the generations underneath you. I mentioned earlier in the show that there was this young kid sitting over in the driver's seat, and his father was over doing business with somebody to buy a Harley-Davidson motorcycle off their trailer, while this kid's over there, he's throwing up the sign, the devil sign up at people and sticking his tongue out the window at them as they drove by, you know. And, you know, at what point does some stranger be offended by this, and then something just goes totally awry? But as you watch that child, you're actually looking at that parent. And if you ain't actually looking at that parent, you're looking at whoever that child hangs around with and their parents. You see what I mean? These people, these children out here don't just make this stuff up out of thin air. They get it off of TV. They get it off of video games. They get it from their friends at school. Society, you know, you teach people how to treat you. You know, and if you're over there, it's all right. Hey, you gotta throw up the sign of the devil. Does he even know what that means? Does he even know the implications of heaven and hell or anything like that? You know, maybe hell doesn't exist. Maybe heaven doesn't exist. But it still doesn't change the fact that these things that people do to each other, the gang signs they throw up, I'm tougher than you, and so on and so forth, all of these communications that people have with one another have consequences. You're either waving at somebody and sending them a smiley face, or you're giving them the finger and cussing them out. There's the difference. You see what I mean?
Well, in fairness, the devil horns. Christianity is a kind of a new kid on the block when it comes to esoteric symbols, mate. There was a lot of religions around a lot longer than Christianity, and trying to ascribe it to that is kind of a bit
cheap.
It
doesn't really matter in the whole grand scheme of things. You know, Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, all the different you know, old style religions and all that kind of stuff, none of that really plays a part in the whole scenario. It's the actions of the individuals. It's the self-responsibility, how you teach people around you, you know, you lead by example kind of thing. All right? You don't have to be a Christian to understand something's right or wrong. You know, there's really good atheists out there that wouldn't go out and do things to each other. You know,
I have to say, my favorite pet religion is the Jedi. And it seems that on Finnish national television, because of the excessive rapes of people in Europe since the kind of introduction of millions of Muslim men supposedly from Syria, they're supposed to use the force to stop them getting themselves raped on the street, because somebody that's going to sexually attack someone is going to stop because they put their hand out and say no. You know, you've got this energetic barrier of the force that's going to stop somebody attacking you if you just put your hand out and say no. What sort of rubbish is that?
People are like really fast to jump on the bandwagon to attack and blame religions or cultures or stuff like that. What they don't seem to want to jump on the bandwagon is that everybody out there has a choice of everything that they say and everything that they do throughout their entire life. It doesn't matter. If I come up and punch you in the nose, you can either walk away or you can punch me back in the nose. That's your decision. You know, you're responsible for every single action and every single choice that you make throughout your entire life. Now, if you want people to act a certain way, then run around punching everybody in the nose, and eventually you're going to get punched in the nose. You just taught them that's okay. That's the way to be. And so if you're going to be a leader of a community and you're going to say, well, you know, hey, this is just a cartoon, or this is just a video game, it's all right, it falls under freedom of speech and all that, you know, and people can do that. And then you have problems later on down the line to where people are starting to reenact the things that they saw on TV, and you didn't start off from the get-go saying, everybody, look, we're going to let everybody watch this because it's a freedom of speech. But you got to understand the difference between, you know, fact and fiction, you know. Otherwise, you shouldn't be watching this.
there was a famous, I suppose, the grandmother of soapy liberals in the UK called Mary Whitehouse. And she basically wanted to ban everything. And the BBC would have produced nothing more than pictures of fluffy kittens and puppies. And she wanted to ban Tom and Jerry because of excessive violence.
Well, they got a lot of cartoons nowadays that they don't play that they used to play because of supposedly racial undertones or whatever. But, you know, I don't think you should ban anything. Anything at all.
They did ban Donald Duck's Hitler cartoon, where he was living under the Third Reich.
I think...
But it's kind of, the point is it's satirical. And there was a Dutch comedian recently that sang a song that was incredibly rude about Muslims and Jewish people and all the rest of it. And he was interrogated on Dutch TV, where they made him lay on this bed of rubber nails. And he pointed out that they were rubber by setting fire to it with his lighter. But when they said, oh, don't you think it's offensive? And don't you think that this is going to move people to violence? And he made two points. He said, well, one, they have a choice to be violent. They choose to be violent. They don't have to be, but they choose to be. Which is not right in any society. And two, when something has belief, it has a certain authority. And if you can't ridicule that authority peacefully, without fear of physical harm, then... you get nasty things happen, like dictatorships. So yes, we should be able to ridicule it. And if you don't like it, change the channel.
Yeah, well, you know, I agree. It should, you should be able to. Basically, it all boils down to teaching people the difference between right and wrong. You know, that's as simple as that. You, like I said, you teach people how to treat you. And if
now, admittedly, singing a song about Muhammad and Jesus servicing each other in a public toilet was probably a step too far for most people.
Well, you know, there are agitators out there who will do things that they know are offensive to literally, you know, cause a reaction. Now, that in itself, you know, they call it hate speech or whatever like that. That in itself...
which is, the guy said it was raining, so I had to come up with something good. And even the Lord Mayor of Amsterdam nearly choked on his tea. So he was laughing too. So if I make people laugh, that's my job. I'm a comedian. I'm not putting these thoughts in people's heads. They're already there.
But where did those thoughts initially come from? You know, I don't believe that the child was born with hateful intentions. You know, did that child just make up that stuff as they went, or did they pick everything out that they saw in their life and start, this is funny, you know, people punching each other in the face, that's funny, ha ha ha, you know, and who was behind the scenes telling the child that ain't funny, that it really hurts?
The point he was trying to make is that people put far too much emphasis on the authority of these people.
Well, I think that authority is the problem, literally. You know, I almost couldn't agree with the anarchists that let everybody go about their own business without harming anybody. If you're not harming nobody, then everything should be fine in the world, in a perfect world. You know, everybody goes about their own business, they take care of one another, and they don't hurt each other, you know?
Well, I lived in Holland for 6 years in the 90s, and there was a certain mentality there that, you know, you can do anything you want. As long as it causes no harm, loss, or offence to others. So, if you're interfering with young children, that's going to cause harm to those children. So yeah. You're not allowed to do that. But, I mean, things like cannabis. If you want to sit in your living room and smoke your brains out and play games and whatever else you need to do, and you are not a burden on society because of your lifestyle choice, then you have every right to do it. Well, but when you sit there smoking all day on the funny facts, sitting there playing computer games, and you don't go out and earn your living, you don't go out and earn enough money to buy food, you don't go out and earn enough money to pay your rent, that's the structure of society you're in.
Yeah, and then whenever you take and go out and drive and get somebody hurt, now see, there's a place for government, you know, to hold people accountable. But once again, the government has to be held accountable too, because the government are supposed to be there by the people for the people, you know. But modern day society has come around to where money is the government. Money is the rule, and if you've got money, you can pretty much get by with everything, including murder.
Well, Dutch police carry guns, and they will use them if they have to. But they'll only use them if they have to.
Well, modern day society, if you see all these videos out there, cops shooting everybody and his brother and tasing them and pepper spraying them and people beating each other toothless. If I was an alien race looking from the outside in at this world, I'd be disgusted, man. I'd like, look, we either got to do one or two things. We either got to get rid of this planet so they don't come to us, or we got to just leave them alone and let them kill themselves.
You know? Well, I'll tell you what you do. You do what they do in continental Europe. The policeman has to pay for every bullet he fires, right or wrong.
Do what?
I'll tell you what. A policeman has to pay for every bullet he fires in certain countries in Europe.
Well, that'd be nice.
Whether he's in the right or the wrong, if he fires off a bullet, he gets a magazine clip or bullets when he leaves the station to go on patrol. And if he ain't got them all when he comes back again, then he gets taken out of his wages. Because I'll tell you what, they won't be sticking hundreds of bullets into a car if they have to pay for them out of their own pocket.
Can you add Thomas to the call?
I can.
So, I guess I'm sitting here trying to weed through this whole deal, trying to figure out the common sense solution to everything. You know, you can't get everyone to agree on where to have breakfast in the morning or dinner or lunch or whatever you call it. You just can't get that many people to agree on things. But at the end of the day, to borrow a phrase, you have to figure out some sort of way to find some sort of common ground for humanity to literally survive into the future. Otherwise, what we got going on is where we're going to end up at the end of this road. You know, and the end of this road to this point doesn't look very good. You know, it looks to me like we're heading down a bad path. We're heading to a reality. He said drag him in again.
No, he's already in there.
Oh, okay. Anyway, we're heading down a bad... You know, if you're driving a vehicle and you're going down a road and you can see that this road is curving off to the left or the right or whatever, and there's a cliff over the side there that you might want to just start slowing down and at least proceed with caution. And that's all that I'm trying to point out to the world. I'm not trying to say that we could solve this overnight, because we've had thousands of years of total anarchy and chaos going on in the world, and, you know, society's trying to further certain agendas to make a certain outcome, to design the world the way that they want it to be, as opposed to the way that would be best for all of humanity. To put on some stones that you should take away 90% of the population, that just sickens me to the core, because the person that actually wrote the deal and the people who actually put it up, what gave them the authority? What made them so much more enlightened than the average Joe to where that they knew what was best for all society? What in a sense made them God? Nobody but our Creator has the right to take or you know, do any harm. You understand what I'm saying here?
Well, I'm not even sure the Creator has any right to do any harm.
Well, maybe not, you know. Look, I'm not trying to turn this into a...
Maybe they can, but it doesn't necessarily mean to say it's right that they should.
I'm not trying to turn this into a religious, you know,
debate. It's got nothing to do with religion. It's a fundamental concept that if you want to call somebody a creator, that's every father. Every mother is a creator. Well, do they then have the right, because they are the creator of their offspring, to harm those offspring?
I don't believe so. I don't believe that once a life is into this world, that anybody has the authority to take it out. You know, it's my life. It's nobody else's. Nobody has the right to tell me where to go and what to do. Now, if I'm running around affecting other people's lives, then yeah, you got to say, hey, look, we have to live on this rock together. There's certain rules that we've agreed that we don't want to do to each other. We don't want to kill each other. And so you can't be doing that. And if you do, we're going to have consequences, you know. That's fourth natural law or whatever. But if you don't start from the start, and you don't start teaching children from the time that they're growing up the difference between right and wrong, if they're pampered and they get everything they want simply by screaming, then there's no consequence. And society just goes down the road that we're on right now. You know, there's people out there that are literally dying as we speak. You know, there's war zones going on all over the world. And there's people that say, well, you know, we got to save the world, we got to save the children, we got to save the planet and all this kind of stuff. But all I hear and all I have heard throughout the 50 years of my life is talk. I've never seen no real action take place. You know, sure, people would jump on the bandwagon and for maybe a week or 2 weeks or 30 days, maybe even 6 months, you know, everybody would be like, yeah, we got to do this. This is the right thing to do. But then it fades away. It loses its coolness, so to speak. And until people understand that, you know, until we figure out a way to come to some sort of common ground to, you know, if you don't like my views on my personal religion, if I'm not stepping on your toes, then what's it to you if I want to believe in the tooth fairy? You know, if it makes me feel comfortable in my life, then what's it to you? What business is it of yours if I feel like the tooth fairy is going to bring me a quarter in the morning after I lost my tooth? You see what I mean?
Chuck Norris for president.
Yeah. That way he's going around knocking out a bunch of teeth.
Anybody that wants to question his policies can go in the ring with him for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, if they win, fair enough.
You know...
I mean, is that what we're coming to?
Pretty much.
Literally. Are we coming to the point where, you know, violence is so endemic in society that Congress is going to be taken over by the WWE?
Well, the doggone MMA fighters out there, you know, there's kids coming up that they want to grow up to be an MMA fighter because it's so glorified. I'm the toughest guy on the block. I'll get in the cage and whoop your behind or whatever. They don't understand that when they get in there, maybe the other guy might just be a little bit tougher and they may be crippled for life or worse.
This happened before.
Yep. It was called the gladiatorium.
Yep.
Yeah, well, what happened to society at that point?
Exactly. Not long after they had their bread and circuses, it collapsed.
Well,
they devalued their currency, too.
Then we should learn from that point in history. I'm echoing back somewhere. We should learn from that point in history and not repeat that, because if you look at modern-day America alone, we got exactly that, the gladiatory society, to where we got the bread and circus, just like you explained. And our money's being collapsed as well. And the people are basically, you know, being entertained through all kinds of different forms of media, whether it doesn't matter whether it's sickening or repulsive or, you know, against people's personal spiritual beliefs or whatever. It doesn't matter. Sex sells, violence sells. And you're raising your children up in a society that everything... Paul Harvey said it back in 1965. He explained 2016 as it stands today. Now, there were wise voices shouting out in the abyss through this entire deal, saying, look, you might want to slow down here. You see what I mean? People addicted to gambling and drugs. Is there a way to turn it around?
There's a ways to go.
Is there a way, Thomas?
Or hop off?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If an alien spaceship comes down here, the three of us could, like, just jump on it and take whoever we want with us and go, man. Get off this crazy rock.
Yeah, but don't forget your towel. If you want to be a galactic hitchhiker, no astronaut would ever be found without his towel.
Yep. Well,
you never know when you might need to slip that thing under a door to make sure something doesn't slide underneath it.
You got people out there that think they know what's best for all of humanity, and so far their plans, they stink. You know, the whole climate change debacle, you know, the best plan is to tax everybody. That's going to save the planet, you know. People will use less of this or less of that, regardless of the fact that they're still wearing rubber shoes and that same fuel that they're worried about. There's going to have to be some sort of method by which to cook the rubber in order to make your tennis shoe, you know.
Which is this. There is a kind of fundamental flaw with the concept of carbon and taxes. Because we generate revenue usually by creating stuff.
Yeah.
So, if they don't want a consumerist society where a lot of the jobs are kind of entry-level and lower-paid jobs are actually based on manufacture, and to make sure that those jobs are maintained, people have to keep buying stuff. How are you going to pay these taxes when, you know, 1% of the world don't actually create anything useful but earn loads of money?
Yeah.
And then the rest of the population that actually do create something are told that they should probably not create it because it's damaging the planet, and to take part of their earnings to actually fund the repair of it.
And to add to that, how many people out there, number one, are even physically fit or capable or even knowledgeable to go back to manual labor to plow in the fields again in order to feed the population? How's it going to be done? Okay, take 90% of the population off the planet. You still got to eat, you know? And
well, if they're taking a large section of, or a certain section of people's salaries to offset the consequences of consumerism, aren't they going to be able to sell more to be able to cover those costs?
Right. Right. In other words, basically, causes more consumerism.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once again, it's a conundrum. It's an enigma. It's a conundrum. It's a riddle within a riddle without an answer. You know, if we were put down here for anything at all, if not just to come to this point of enlightenment to understand, you know, there's a better way than what we've been doing for the history of whatever. For whatever reason, the great experiment, or, you know, whatever the cause, whatever our justification or reasoning for being here whatsoever, there's got to come a point in time when society finally realizes that everything that we've done in the past, we continue to repeat, and we continue to kill, we continue to rape the resources of the planet, we continue to use everything inefficiently or wastefully or whatever. If mankind is ever to go to infinity and beyond, so to speak, then we're going to have to get our act together. We're here in the year 2016. I've been on this planet for 50 years. There's still people starving. There's still wars going on. There's still plagues and famine and pestilence and wars and rumors of wars and conspiracies or propaganda and madness going on. Kids out there punching each other in the face and crowds standing around laughing about it. The most angry that you will ever see me get is, go back and look on my YouTube channel. Look up a video called Shaziz is Pissed. Alright, and you will see me madder than I've ever been in my entire life. I was so doggone frustrated because there was a video over in China where there was this little baby down there, and there's this guy that was literally standing on this baby's arm, and there were people that were standing around, and they didn't do nothing to stop it. The little kid's crying, and they didn't do nothing to stop it. If I would have been in that crowd, I would have been knocking out not just the guy who was stepping on the baby's arm, but I'd have been knocking out the people in the crowd too. That's how angry I was when I saw this video. You know, it's ridiculous. When people can stand idly by and not stand up for what's right, not stand up for truth and justice, you call yourself a truther out there in this world, but you're willing to turn a blind eye to certain things just so that it will fit your story or your agenda. You're not a truther. You see what I mean? If you're not willing to stand up for that baby or your neighbor and do what's right, then the whole doggone world's wrong. Period. And if that's all we've learned in the 50 years since I've been here alone, we got problems. What do you guys think?
I think Monty Python got it right. I've just dropped a link into the Skype chat there for you. It's the sketch about the People's Front of Judea.
Well, I got the wrong computer to ship that over to the podcast, so I'll have to listen to it later. But you can throw the links up in there for the people in the chat room.
The point being is, maybe you want to play it on another show sometime.
Yeah, I can do
that. The whole sketch is about, are you the People's Front of Judea or the Judean People's Front? They don't even know what group they're part of. They're so busy arguing with each other about minor points. Things like their name. They kind of lose sight of the whole problem in the first place. And that's where we are.
Yeah, how many times, how much time has been wasted sitting around debating on what's right and what's wrong? How much time has been wasted, you know, arguing back and forth of who's right, who's wrong, whether there is or isn't a God, whether there is or isn't a one-world conspiracy, all of this stuff, regardless of what you believe in, you're still standing on the same planet that everybody else is. You still all have to live together. You don't have to like each other, but unless you got a way off this rock, you're stuck. And we got to come to a resolution to where we, you know, don't pollute our own fishbowl, so to speak, and we all end up dying. And there's fish going belly up in the Pacific Ocean, and there's animals dying all over the planet, and sinkholes popping up everywhere, and earthquakes, and craziness, and shootings, and all this kind of stuff that you see on the mainstream and the alternative media. Somebody got to jump up and say, hold on a second, you know? Now, I think that's what we're trying to do. I think we're trying to be the voice of reasoning in the crowd of chaos, and we're trying to point out that there is a better way. You know, like I said, you don't have to believe in the way that I believe. But we got to live on this planet together. Unless you're willing to take my life, then I'm going to have to keep saying what I'm saying because I believe what I'm saying is right. You know, there's got to be a better way, an alternative energy to give everybody what they want. They want clean, renewable energy. They want green energy. They want technologies that doesn't hurt the environment. I agree with that, all right? And well, it can be done.
Most people don't even care about clean, renewable energy. What they care about is not being subservient to a group that want to tap their energy every month or every quarter with bills.
Yeah.
And we have the technology and we have the capacity and we have the manufacturing skills to be able to make devices that would wean people off of these kind of, I suppose you call it a standing charge or a residual cost. I mean, that's something for the 20th century. Well, we're in the 21st century now. We need to move beyond paying mammoth corporations insanely large sums of money on a national basis, because if you say that in somewhere like the Republic of Ireland or the United Kingdom, when you sign up to a utility company, you're supposed to pay them X amount a month, regardless of what you actually use. It's called a standing charge, and it's somewhere around about €30 in Ireland. I'm not sure how much it is in the UK, but that amounts to millions every year, just for the fact that you actually have electricity coming to your house.
Well, you know, even in that scenario right there, there should be some sort of common ground that we could actually come to. Like, let's say my light bill is high. Let's say my light bill is $400 a month, and $400 a month takes a big chunk out of my capability of going out purchasing products and helping the economy and such. So if I could find some sort of device to supplement my income to supplement my energy usage to at least half of what that normal bill would have been, then I can take that extra money and I can go out and spend it into the economy and benefit society. So there should be some sort of, at the very least, common ground by the utility companies and the governments and all the people to do all the regulations and everything to set in place to where we are going towards a society where the power company can still make money, but we're doing it efficiently enough that I got a fair price to pay whenever I'm being provided the service. You understand what I'm trying to say here?
Well, do you know what the standing charge is for? Which is this?
so that they can maintain and upgrade their materials or their equipment. Well, how good's your equipment now? Is it still efficient? Is it more efficient?
It is. It's for the creation, the maintenance, the updates, and the generation of electricity in particular. So those units that they charge you for are pure profit, because you've actually funded the whole infrastructure and generation of electricity through the standing charge. So them charging you per unit of each kilowatt of electricity is money for nothing.
Yeah, and the question would be,
and checks for free.
Yeah.
The question would have to be, at what point is that equipment paid off? At what point is the infrastructure paid off? If it's just continuously perpetual, it's never paid off. It's like buying a used car from one of them buy here, pay here lots. It might have been a $2,000 car, but by the time you get through paying it off, you got a $10,000 car. It's crazy.
It seems like people are pretty used to being upside down on everything now, though, these days. War is peace.
Yep. I got a credit card. It's easy to use. I don't worry about the bill. I just pay a little bit every month. I only got to pay $20 a month, and hey, I can get all the stuff that I want. But what they don't understand is behind the scenes, that paper's getting thicker. It's racking up. And eventually, where does it come to where you can't pay anymore? You know? Mm. Or will you ever be out of servitude? Will you ever be out of debt? You know, we got so much that we could teach each other out here in this world. You know, better ways to do things, better ways to do your finances, better alternative methods of medicine and energy production. We, Steve has said this one time, many times I believe, we are sitting here with at our fingertips, the vast combined knowledge of all of humanity at our fingertips. And we're at a point in time where we could take this crossroad into a different direction, to where we, the people of this world, could actually make this world a better place. We have the power, we have the technology to do just that. My question is, will we? Are we going to are we going to take the right path and rebuild it? Or are we going to just keep on the same path because we're comfortable with what our life is?
Well, one of the questions that I've been thinking on a lot recently is, why would it be unfeasible to decentralize the basic requirements of the average family home? Water, electricity, heating, shelter, I mean, all of this stuff. Why does it need to be supplied by an incredibly expensive and not necessarily reliable national infrastructure? Do we not have the technology now where each household could have its own privately operated unit that you don't need to pay anybody for?
Yeah, it is possible. And, you know, even in the rural communities where they people have access to their own personal wells. And then that gives you an actual choice of what is put in your water and what isn't put in your water. But if you're on city water and they subscribe to the whole fluoride or chlorine or whatever chemicals they put in your doggone water system, then it's either you drink their water or you go to the store and buy some bottled water. But the bottled water you buy at the store, depending on the honesty of the person selling it to you, may have came out of their tap water and they got the same crud.
Well, you know that a lot of hospitals have their own private aquifers because tap water is generally considered too unclean to give to sick people.
Well, you know what? There are documentaries out there about the vitamin industry and the drug industry and the water treatment facilities that would just shock you so much. You just wouldn't drink a glass of water out of the tap anymore if you lived in an area.
What I'm saying is, a large industrial setup such as a hospital, and it is an industrial setup, needs oodles and oodles of water, and they're not taking it out of the rivers, and they're not taking it off the mains connections. They're extracting it from the atmosphere through cooling towers.
Well, there you go, man. And why couldn't you do that on an individual basis around, especially if you live in a humid climate? You'd have all the water you needed and then some.
You know, there are certain places in the air, in the world that are drier that it might not be appropriate, but there are alternative technologies.
Yeah. So, all the answers have been on the table. People are always talking about solutions. The solutions are there. They've been there all along. It's just a matter of whether or not we can get society to actually use these solutions. You know, we don't have to build nuclear power plants on known faults or near tsunami zones. We don't have to burn fossil fuels. There's other technologies available out there. But, you know, it's you either do it or you don't. You either drive an electric car or you don't. You know, they say, well...
Have you heard the latest that there's a volcano erupting 30 miles from another one of Japan's nuclear reactors?
Yeah.
I mean, so, volcanoes don't discriminate. There is no bargaining with them or, you know, well, can you flow your lava that way, please? Because it's kind of a bit inconvenient.
Well, therein lies another deal. Yeah, understanding of nature. You know, people in this world today, they live near volcanoes. Now, I would never move my family near a volcano because, I don't know, one day it might erupt. They may never erupt in my lifetime. But sooner or later, it's a potential danger that that thing could erupt. So I kind of steer myself towards an area that didn't have volcanoes. And if I lived in Tornado Alley, then I would build my house accordingly. I wouldn't just go out and buy just an average stick house for $100,000 and call it home and then go out and buy insurance that in case the wind blows my house over. You know, it's like the Three Little Pigs story. One built his house out of sticks and one built his house out of straw and one built his house out of bricks and then along comes a big bad wolf and you know how the story ends. Well, look, common sense, man.
If Yellowstone Park super volcano erupts, there isn't anywhere on the planet you can hide from that.
No, but I can't live my life in fear either. But I could build my house we have technologies to build houses that could withstand a lot. Now, super volcano, hey, yeah, it's just like Planet X hitting the planet. All right, Planet X hits the planet, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? Your bunker ain't going to help none. So, you know, we cross that bridge when we get there. What we can fix is the way that society it thinks right now. You want clean, renewable energy, then support the alternative energy researchers. You want alternatives to the mainstream health system, then support the alternative medicine people. You know, if you want freedoms and rights and privileges or whatever, all this stuff that everybody keeps complaining about, and freedom in general, it looks like we lost our call, then you got to support those who believe the same way. Sorry about that interruption there, folks, trying to get the doggone Skype to kick back on there. Looks like somebody lost their connection. I'll try to call him back myself. Anyway, it's simple common sense. You know, I can't understand why this world is continuously staying the way that it's staying. Yes, I want to make the call. Do I got you guys back?
You certainly did,
sir. Yeah, somebody got the boot there.
Me.
They probably didn't like you talking about what you're talking about, man.
Well, I mean, it is a bit insane that we've got these massive, great, big infrastructures that cost millions in taxpayers' money to fund, which once they've built, they spill off pennies to the dollar to private industries that do nothing with it, and they don't maintain it and upkeep it. And it gets to the point where it's in such disarray, the taxpayer has to fork out again.
Yeah.
To make sure it's properly repaired.
We got road taxes over here, and the roads out here, they're terrible, you know, but we still pay road taxes. You know,
road taxes to build toll roads that we have to pay to drive on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pay to build it and then pay to drive on it. And pay to repair it again.
I missed the turning once and ended up on the toll road. And they said, oh, you have to pay. I said, well, didn't 50% of taxpayers' money build this? And she said, well, yeah. I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll drive halfway then and stop.
I think this world needs a total reset. I think we need, from all nations, a common sense committee that will sit around, built up of we the people, and sit around and whenever, before law is ever even allowed to be even introduced into the Senate or the Congressmen or the Parliament or whatever, it has to pass the common sense committee. And so when people say we're going to charge you taxes on roads, then you need to use some common sense and say, ask the tough questions. All right, well, you're saying you're going to take this amount of money out of our paycheck to ensure that the roads are. We're going to need copies of receipts and everything to show that this money is actually going towards that. And we also need you to sign on the dotted line saying you're not going to take this money from the streets and put it over to some other project to get to like it. You see what I mean?
That hasn't been okay for us to go ahead and take money from us to go ahead and to do.
Yeah.
So.
Because that's what they do, man. They have this gambling deal over here in Missouri where, you know, they're supposed to take the tax money and it's supposed to be funneled into the schools, you know, off of the profits that the company makes. They pay so much for taxes and it's supposed to benefit the schools. Well, all I'm seeing is the same thing that I've been seeing all along. Neglect of the schools, you know, problems. It's just a mess. The whole thing, anytime you put it in the government's hand and allow them to take control of it, that's like, you know, if you're not in control of your own finances and you can't complain when the person that takes care of your finances does a cruddy job.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not paying attention to what they're doing.
And like leaving a little kid in control of a cookie jar and then you come back in and wonder why the cookie jar is empty and they're laying on the floor rolling around holding their stomach.
Yeah. You gave them the keys to the palace and you said you're going on vacation. You came back and the house was in a mess and then what? did you expect any less? If you had to taught them from the get-go the difference between right and wrong, then you can't complain too much about what was going on. And that's why when I point out the Ten Commandments, I don't care who wrote them, whether it was divine intervention or some intelligent individual out there, when somebody said, thou shalt not kill, I can agree with that. You know, I don't think everybody should be running around killing each other.
My neighbor's ox has got a cheeky smile, and she looks damn good in suspenders.
I don't know what that was all about.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's ox.
Yeah, well, whatever the case, man. Look, everybody live and let live, and everybody peace and love, and everybody get along, and don't hurt your neighbor, and try to do the right thing, and we can live in a decent world. But you let Snively Whiplash or Congressman Bongwater run the planet, then you get what you get. That's all there is to it. If your elections are rigged, then fix your elections to ensure that they can't be rigged. You know, like the society over there, they think it's Afghanistan or one of the Middle Eastern countries over there, where when you go to vote, they make you dip your finger in this purple dye that shows so you can't vote again. You got to show whether your hands are clean when you get there.
And they haven't got soap.
Yeah. So, there you go, man. Ain't nobody going to vote twice. Unless you got the guy who's supposed to be checking hands saying, hey, yeah, I noticed you got a purple finger. Go ahead and vote again. It's all right. I'm the man.
Well, in fairness, there was a certain amount of questions asked about people that are contributing to things like Iowa delegates.
Oh, yeah,
and
there's
making
corruption.
Massive contributions to their campaigns and counting the votes. Now, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that there is a certain conflict of interest there that is blatantly obvious.
Well, I saw a video where Marco Rubio was backed by Bill Gates, and Bill Gates was the one that was in charge of counting the votes.
Yeah.
So, if I'm putting a lot of money out there and I'm going to count the votes, it's like when you're passing out the cookies, one for you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for me, one for you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 for me. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, come on, Chizzy. Bill Gates is way too rich to count it himself. He pays other people to do that.
Yeah, he's so rich, he has to be honest. That's why he puts all the spyware in there to sell you out to whoever is the highest bidder for your information.
May not have been one of his approved concepts, but I'm sure it came with his blessing.
Yep.
Now, isn't it interesting that we've got this Zika virus in mosquitoes? A good while after Bill Gates banging on about how they should genetically modify mosquitoes to give people vaccinations.
Yeah.
Now, isn't that interesting?
This is one heck of a coincidence, right?
So, what's to say that they didn't genetically modify some mosquitoes to give us a vaccination we didn't want, and it mutated?
Yeah, and then they turn around and, they already got all their equipment in play that if all society starts to break down because there's this plague rushing through there, they can step in and declare martial law. See, there goes the conspiracy again. That's what we started off the whole show with. Somebody doesn't want you to trust your government, and for just cause in most cases that you shouldn't trust your government. You shouldn't trust anybody that's presenting information unless you're willing to verify that information. You know, all the way through the portion of the Bible where Jesus was telling everybody information, he was talking about verifying everything. Verify it, verify it. You know, don't believe what I'm saying, verify it.
Isn't it a great joke that currently in Europe you've got millions of Syrian refugees coming across the border? In fact, there's so many Syrian refugees coming across the border, there are not actually any Syrians left in the country.
Yeah, the numbers don't add up. That's another portion of it.
I mean, there's more people coming across the border than can potentially live in one region of it that could possibly get there in the first place. And the response for that is to create a European border force. Not to keep the refugees out, but to make sure the countries will accept them by force if necessary.
Boy, does that sound familiar. Jeez. I'll tell you what, man.
When they talk about a border protection force, they're not actually talking about making sure that people are properly vetted before they enter an area where there are certain things like not raping women, not smashing things up, not burning police cars in streets in Paris. That sort of conduct is not really acceptable. So if we kick you out, we need a border force to make sure you don't come back in again.
Yeah.
But they're going to be there for that. They're going to be there to make sure that countries that decide that, right, we've had enough of this, will have armed guards on their border that will make sure that they do come in.
Well, over here, our border patrol sets up checkpoints 100 miles away from the border. Wouldn't you think that by definition, border patrol means you're on the border?
Well, people grow drugs in America, too. They don't have to import it from Mexico.
Yeah, but see, the whole purpose of border patrol is to protect the borders. You know, the whole illegal alien concept. You know, people coming across the border illegally. You know, you have somebody guarding the fence. You know, but if you're 100 miles away from the fence, then people can come in, and by that time, they don't have to go through the checkpoint. They can walk around it. You know?
You know, isn't the whole point of a border checkpoint to find drugs and guns?
Well, in its basic concept, it was supposed to be to keep for people from coming across the border illegally. It had nothing to do with drugs and guns.
So why did the Border Force have a sniffer dog 100 miles inland? 100 miles from the border?
That's so they can find the drugs and guns. But see, look, now you got
Can a sniffer dog racially discriminate?
No, but you got people that are already within the borders, 100 miles within the border, so they got there. Now you're going to check to see if Americans are legal, if anybody's legal. If you're down by the doggone fence, you know who's legal and who ain't. If they're already across the fence, then you let the other side of the team work on finding the ones who snuck through somehow, and you take care of business down there. But the lack of common sense here is ridiculous. You're 100 miles away from the border that you're supposed to be protecting, and you're not just checking for that. You're checking for drugs, you're checking for guns, or whatever, from everybody. So, there is no border. There hasn't been no border. You know, since the whole European Union, the Asian Union, and the North American Union, since all those things came into play, there weren't no borders. These people weren't even coming across here illegally. They were coming across here with the blessings of the people, the powers that be. Just the average Joe had no idea that they were legally coming across there. They had to put up
the fairness is, there is the view in the world that, you know, it's very difficult for a human to be illegal on the planet Earth, because we all live on the third rock from the sun.
Well, that's a perfect world, and I would agree with that scenario. But if you're going to play by the rules...
We've been given these borders as almost arguing points to discriminate against our fellow men. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you should let anybody roam freely, because that is not a particularly good idea, because certain parts of the world have been elevated through science and technology, and other parts of the world have been deliberately restricted from it. But to sort out this mess, we have to find some ground in the middle, where everybody can be brought to a level of technological equilibrium, at least.
Well, in the old Greek mythologies, one of the stories was the Trojan War, where they had built a Trojan horse and literally brought it in, and inside there was like a gift, you know, they put it outside the gate, and the people brought it inside the gate, and then the army guys jumped out. Well, the same thing could apply in modern day society, you know, until everybody has decided that we're all going to be one nation, and, you know, we're all going to get along, and there ain't no borders, you can go visit whoever you want, then the odds of you being able to live peacefully in your communities without no enemy coming across the borders to destroy your country, you know, are pretty good. We don't know how many, if the ISIS group is real, we don't know how many of them's already here, how many of them's going to start terrorizing the doggone planet or whatever. You know?
So do you think that Nancy Pelosi is basically Hillary Clinton in a fat suit?
I don't know. She might be one of the lizard people for all I know.
She pulls on this fat suit like Arnold Schwarzenegger did in the film Total Recall to try and fool people into believing these are something she was.
All I know is the biggest thing I can remember.
I was thinking Slovene.
Even better. But have we got these ferrety little populations of politicians around the world, not Hillary Clinton in particular, I was just using that as a humorous example, but have we got these people that kind of pull on these fat suits and then run around the world kicking off, just generally causing mayhem here, there, and everywhere?
Seems like it. The biggest thing I can that comes to mind about Nancy Pelosi is the stupid words that come up out of her mouth. Said we got to pass this bill to find out what's in it. So she essentially just said we got to pass this law to find out what the law is.
Sign this contract, but don't read it first.
Yeah,
might not like it.
Look, hypocrisy, lack of common sense, and just everybody running amok, kind of, this world's chaotic. And until we, the people, actually get a grip on what's actually occurring out here, you know, you got people out there right now that literally are arguing over whether or not the earth is flat or the earth is round. All right, we just made a complete loop. We just made a complete loop all the way back in time and started arguing over something again.
So it's the People's Front of Judea, should this?
Yep.
Or is it the Judean People's Front? I forget.
I don't know if you saw that video where Buzz Aldrin had to hit some guy because he was trying to hit him. He was basically trying to smack him around with a Bible. Trying to say, I want you to swear on this Bible. You landed on the moon because he didn't. Yeah.
He
was with his like granddaughter, so you know, not only did he have to jump between him and her, and then get whacked by a Bible that the guy's waving around, but then he's going to try to have him arrested for basically trying to defend himself over this.
Yeah, that guy's a nutter. I mean, moon landing is hoax or not, if you run up to some guy in public who is a national hero, regardless of whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter, when he's with his family, or you run up to any person in the street and start ranting at them, demanding that they swear on the Bible that they've performed some action, and then you call that citizen journalism. No, that's just, to be perfectly honest, a psychological illness.
Well, I agree, and that just adds to the pile of stupidity. Whether you believe we went to the moon or you didn't believe we went to the moon is neither here nor there. If you're intruding on somebody's personal space, even if they're a total jerk, you know, it all falls back to the same thing, doing no harm and natural law or whatever, you know. But regardless of all that, whether there is or isn't a God, whether there is or isn't aliens, whether there is or isn't a one-world conspiracy, until the people of this world become enlightened enough to know that what we're doing to this planet, what we're doing to one another, isn't working. It's not furthering humanity. We take less than baby steps moving forward in our, if you want to call it evolution, as society, we are taking less than baby steps moving forward because we're too busy tearing stuff up. We're too busy tearing each other down. We're too busy teaching our children smut and propaganda. We allow so much stuff. And we even allow the abuse to some extent to where, you know, we can tolerate some sort of abuse just so we can live in a peaceful society. You know, you look at the cops, you want to steer clear of them, you don't want to go anywhere near the cops because everybody's got the stories, cops will beat you up, they'll shoot you, you know, you just don't want to deal with them, you don't want to pay the judge any money, so you steer clear from that type of person. You can't have a cop as a friend because you can't trust him. If you say something that you're not supposed to, will he throw you in jail or not? See, and that's it.
I grew up in an environment where the police just weren't trusted, regardless. I mean, if you went and spoke to the police on any reason, to be honest, other than abusing them, then you would have kind of been a pariah in your own society.
If you don't trust the government, then what's the purpose of even having the government? If you can't trust the police, what's the purpose of even having the police? If people can't police themselves, if they can't govern themselves, then we've already lost before we ever even got started, because now we have to rely on whether or not our voting's all right or wrong, whether they're rigged or not. We got to rely on whether the person that's telling the truth that we want to hear is actually telling the truth, or is it just saying what we want to hear in order for us to push the lever and say you're elected. You know, we have to be held accountable individually for our own choices, and we have to be knowledgeable in those choices, such as that when we go to vote, we know this guy has passed, we know his reputation, we've done the research, we know what he's voted for, what he hasn't voted for, and so on and so forth. Until we get to that point.
You're perfectly right there. If we were accountable for our own choices, do we want the 5-kilowatt generator because we have a low income and we can't really afford that private generation unit in the house we currently live in? Or do we want to buy the 10 or 20 kilowatt power generator that we personally own in our own home? They're personal choices that I think that people should be allowed to make, because we've got the technology to do it.
Yeah.
We just don't have the inclination of governments to make it a reality.
You shouldn't be penalized for putting solar panels up to supplement the income, or protect your income and your supplement your power usage, especially when your governments of the world are out there saying that your carbon emissions or your carbon footprint is too big and you have to reduce it. So when you put a remedy on the table such as solar or wind or alternative generating systems, then you should be rewarded for that, because you're actually reducing the carbon footprint that they swore up and down was the problem.
Well, Shaziz, think about it this way. They keep saying, oh yes, but what about all the loss of jobs? Well, instead of people sitting in call centers ringing you up to offer you an amazing new deal on your electricity or utility package, what about all the people that can be retrained into servicing this equipment?
Yeah.
And they can run their own businesses. We don't need massive conglomerates. They're pointless. They're a complete waste of people's time, energy and effort. And they're making jobs for the sake of making jobs. Because if people sat at home and raised their family themselves, they probably couldn't push all of this moralistic rubbish and dogma on them that's fed through the TV and media.
If people can't recognize hypocrisy, if they can't recognize corruption, if they can't recognize the lack of common sense, then they're going to live in a world like we live in today. You have to be able to realize that somebody's screwing you over before you know to do anything about it. You know, if you put your blind faith in anything, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it be your spiritual beliefs, your personal beliefs, your political views, or whatever, if you put your blind faith in there and you don't ask the questions, if you don't observe and watch and pay attention, then you're just going to be with the world that you've got. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know?
Same thing if you're too busy to do anything about it and you just keep letting it happen.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's beyond my control. Me and my wife got to work, so my child has to go to daycare. Every time my child comes back to from daycare, my child comes back with bad attitudes and head lice or whatever, you know. I can't do nothing about it. I'll have to just deal with it, you know, instead of going down there and setting things straight. Look, I don't know what's going on. What kid is this guy, this my child playing with that he comes back foul-mouthing every time? You know, I would appreciate that you don't have these two hanging around, or you observe their actions and tell them that this is not right. You know?
Yeah, but that would be discrimination and profiling.
Well, you know what? We got to get past the whole politically correct, because there are people out there that say they want to kill you. You know, they say they want to chop your head off or whatever. You know? And it's just ridiculous, man. You know, if you take away everything that is good in this world, then all you have left is bad. If you tell everybody you got to ban this and you got to ban that, you need to ban everything. Because there's nothing on this planet that isn't potentially deadly, you know?
Ban Band-Aids.
Oh. Yeah, you could choke on them.
Well, you know what they say, walks like a jihadist, talks like a jihadist, acts like a jihadist. Arrest the right guy!
Yeah. Huh. Oh, man. You know what?
Duck.
It just... There's so much to contemplate on. You know, if this little voice of reasoning session that we've got going on called the Knights of the Round Table is just a little tiny echo in the whole span of times in the grand scheme of thing, if it's just a little blip on the radar and not very many people hear it, and then... You know, the point is pretty much mute. If you throw the pebble in the pond and there's a wall up against that ripple going out and spreading it to the world, then it's only in that general vicinity that people know.
I saw what you did there.
Yeah? What'd you see?
If we're not being heard, the point is mute.
Yeah.
Not moot, mute.
Yeah. But see, the whole key of all this is, in order for this to work, in order for the voices to be heard, if you believe in the things that we're talking about, you need to tell people about it. You need to bring people to the table. You need to build the communities, the networks, to actually get things done, to get the education flowing out there. If you're reliant on sending your child to a government school, then you can't really complain if the government ain't teaching your child what you want your child to learn. You know, I want my child to learn both evolution and creation. I want my child to learn, I want them to know both sides of the story so that they can make an educated decision. I don't want them to be told this is this and that's that and that's period.
That is a good way to give your child schizophrenia, to be perfectly honest.
By teaching them both?
Yeah, they would know where to go.
Well, sure they would. They would be able to formulate their own decision.
It would be much better if they just subjected to government programming and it would all be over and it would all be easy.
Yeah, be painless.
We don't want children to grow up thinking critically, do we?
Well, I want my children to grow up thinking critically, because there's going to be incidents in their life where they're going to have to make dangerous choices or important choices, you know, that if they can't critically think for themselves, they'll just go with the flow. You know, we said this a while back. I equated us to, like, there's a whole bunch of sheep, right? And three of us are standing out here outside the cave, and the big bad wolf is over there, and he's telling everybody, he says, look, let's go inside and have dinner. Right? And everybody's like, well, that sounds pretty good. He's invited us in his cave where it's warm and we're going to have dinner. And the three of us are sitting back in there and saying, hold on a second. Now, he did mention that we were going to go in there to have dinner, but what he didn't say was whether or not what was going to be on the menu. So shouldn't we clarify this before we actually rush in to that cave? You see what I'm saying? The point I'm trying to make here?
Well, sure, you're missing a point, too, where basically it's a wolf versus sheep.
Yeah.
Does a wolf really feel a need to tell the truth to sheep?
Well, there's a lot of wolves out there in this world.
Sure is. There's a definition of critical thinking. A bear comes tearing out of the woods at fat camp. 20 kids start running. One kid sits down and starts putting his spiked sprinting shoes on. And his buddy turned around to him and said, by the time you got them on, the bear will get here. He said, I don't have to run the fastest. I just have to run faster than you. And that's the world we're living in.
Yep, pretty much. It's every man for himself. Dog eat dog world.
If the zombies are coming, I'm tripping you and running, you know, then running away. That's the mentality.
It's ironic you said that, Thomas, because my wife said that one time. I said, what would happen if we were being chased by zombies? And she said she'd trip me in and say, she said, well, you know martial arts. You'd be able to defend yourself. Yeah.
Well, in fairness, as we talked about the zombie invasion before, and you'll kick him in the short and danglies, and I'll walk around with a dustpan and brush and sweep him up.
Yeah, that'll work. Whatever,
so we'll save the world and leave it clean and tidy afterwards.
That's teamwork. But, you know, look, I don't want to spend the rest of my life shouting into a hollow hole and not getting any results. I want to see some results. We got a lot of projects that we want to try to get done. We got a book that we want to try to put together with how-tos in it. Yeah, illustrated, shows you, you know, from different individuals who create stuff to projects on actually what materials they use, the companies they bought the materials from, and basically teach people how to do stuff. That's just one small step towards what we're trying to accomplish here. And we want to put this book together in a form that whenever you get this book, which is no charge, we want you to get this book for free. We want you to be able to take this book apart, put it on a copy machine, and copy off as many copies as you can, and to put it back together and take them out to other people who can in turn do the same thing. When you show people that there are solutions out there, that there's a better way to do things, and there are options on the table, then you give them a better chance at
fighting
survival.
Chance.
Yeah. So, you know, that's just one way, folks.
Shaziz, the day I'll be happy is the day when I ring up the electricity company and say, would you like to come and collect your meter, or do you want to pay for the storage of it because I don't need it anymore?
Yeah, I agree. I want the same exact thing, you know, and I know how to do it. I already know how we can build this generator. It would take a combined effort of people with talents and tools, and we could do it in less than 30 days. We could have energy independence for the individual in every household. And it's not going to defy any laws of physics. It's not going to be some sort of mystical where you have to love your reactor kind of thing. It's going to be using everything that we know about basic science and physics and mechanical workings and so on and so forth to literally use everything that nature has already provided and be able to do this in harmony in a clean fashion to where you're not polluting your waterways and your land.
Which is this? How much money is that going to leave in people's accounts so they know how much extra taxes to take that from us?
I don't understand the question.
If you are no longer paying for a power bill, you're going to have money left over in your check. You said earlier, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's a politician somewhere that's rubbing his hands together, going, "Ooh, an extra $200 a month that we can take."
Well, there you go, man.
The second they know that you're not having to pay for that power.
But if they really cared about the economy, don't you think that the buying power of the person that had more money would go out?
Oh, man, if they cared about the economy, don't you think they would basically be doing everything they could to make it easier to keep manufacturing in the country instead of sending it to China or Taiwan or whatever country has slave labor so they can get it done cheaper.
That's a good point and well taken.
Well, they do care about the economy. I mean, they care about it so much that they're trying to absolutely destroy it.
Right. Well, they're not destroying, they're eating it. They are eating it.
Yep.
Shoveling it in their mouth and getting all they can for themselves, like squirrels running off with the nuts.
What I want,
they're destroying it for the average Joe.
Yes.
I mean, I was reading an article recently saying that even the mainstream media now is openly admitting that the American dream is dead. Because there is nowhere you can go, and there's nowhere where you can set up shop, do your own thing, and be left alone to do it.
And this is the thing, though. They're not destroying the economy for the average Joe. They're destroying the average Joe.
Yeah. Well,
there's no way to separate the two. You destroy the economy. It's like, you were talking about the fish in the water. You can't destroy the water without destroying the fish.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, they
can't
do see
it. The economy without the people.
Anyway.
What I'd like people to take away from this entire show from start to finish about the conspiracies and the reasoning behind all this kind of stuff is that, and even when I talked about the way that people are treating each other, people out there beating each other up and, all the violence that we see in the wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence, there are brilliant individuals out here that have the solutions, that have the skills. That if you could bring those people together in your community, and believe me, there are those individuals in your community. Every community has a knucklehead and a bully, and every community has a carpenter and an electrician and so on and so forth. You bring the people to the table that can actually do the work with the skills and the talents that they have available, and you make your community better. If worst case scenario hits, at least your community is ready for it, because they're educated, they know things, and they can take care of one another. If worst case scenario happens right now, and somebody gets seriously wounded, and they can't go to the doctor because all the hospitals are on fire or whatever, well, then you're going to sit by and watch your loved one die because you didn't even know something as simple first aid, first responder kind of stuff. And I'm not saying that doomsday's right around the corner. I'm just basically trying to say that knowledge is power. And what you know when all heck breaks loose is what you got to rely on. What's in your pocket, what's on your cupboard shelves, whatever. If you know how to fish, and you can feed your family. It's that simple. And to spread that kind of information to people, I think, is a good thing. If you teach them how to fish, they can feed their family. And if they don't know how to do something, there's a booklet they can refer to, the how-to book that we're talking about, or your website, your radio networks, your social media networks. Utilize this tool. Like Steve said, we have the vast amount of sum of all humanity's knowledge at our fingertips right now. And from what I see right now, it's being used to sit there and curse each other out because that guy doesn't agree with that guy's political view, and that guy don't like whites, and that guy don't like blacks, and we either did or didn't go to the moon, the earth is flat or not, and all the governments out there in the world, they don't care. They don't care that you guys are out there arguing. It makes their job easier. It gives them more power, it gives them more money, and they can run amok, and the corporations funding them behind the scenes, and the international bankers. And even if you want to go all the way into the deepness of the conspiracy, the Illuminati, the people that's actually in charge of the world, you're giving them everything they want. Order out of chaos. They'll let you tear yourselves apart. They'll let you destroy your own communities. If you look at Ferguson, Missouri as an example, they went in there and they destroyed, they rioted, and the government stood idly by and just allowed them to burn the buildings down. And then what did they have whenever they was done? They didn't have jobs because they done burnt the doggone store out. Who's going to hire them? Who can hire them? They just destroyed their own community trying to protest a government who didn't care. The government didn't go in there and say, okay, I'm sorry you got your stuff destroyed. We're going to give you money to fix it back up. And no. And a prospective business isn't going to go into that community and invest their money because they're in it to make money. And why would they want to risk their money that go into a community that has already proven that it will destroy their business if they don't like what's going on. You see the stupidity of the whole deal? And the governments don't care, because the more you fight amongst each other, the more you argue and the more you complain, the more power you give them. Until the point where you're literally living in a self-fulfilled prophecy, you have a tyrannical government ruling you because you ask them to. Am I wrong?
Well, the joke of it is coming from England, I know all about a class system. You've got working class, middle class, upper middle class, high class, or elites, if you like. And the structure of society works perfectly well if people know where their place is.
Yeah, know your place and shut your face.
Yeah, but the problem is on one end, they expect you to be part of a caste system. And on the other hand, they keep preaching and teaching everybody that everybody is equal. Well, they're not. I'm sorry, but I am not equal to Queen Elizabeth Windsor, because I don't get millions and millions off the state and the ability to shut down half of London so two cousins can marry each other. If I try, I'll get arrested and locked up.
Yep, there's the hypocrisy portion of the conspiracy. You know,
you get my point.
Yeah, I fully get your point. And I see it all the time. Things that the average Joe would go to prison, we'd be so far under the jailhouse that we'd be speaking Chinese, but yet a congressman or a senator can do these kind of things, or even a police officer for that matter, and they get a minor slap on the wrist. A couple years in prison for murder ain't that big of a deal. You see what I mean? But your average Joe, he's going to spend life in prison.
Well, I'm currently living. You can spend time in prison if you abuse people in public. Well, they call it a police state. But that goes for everybody. There was a guy that was abusing a load of Muslim women at a bus stop because he didn't like the way they were dressed, or there was something he didn't like about them. And he was berating them and abusing them and using extremely foul language. And he got a large fine and he spent time in prison for it. Because that is not acceptable conduct for an adult in an adult society. And if you want to act like a child, we'll treat you like a child. You get sent on the naughty step for a couple of weeks.
Time out, man.
Well, that's literally what it is.
If we're going to have some sort of common sense governing of society so that people don't run amok and kill each other and steal from each other, there has to be some sort of consequences to, you know, people's action. I understand that. But there also has to be some sort of limitation on the power of the government. It's just the same thing that I mentioned earlier about the bully. All right? The victim was getting beat up by a bully. And then so finally the victim gets fed up and beats the living tar out of the bully until the bully is down. But once the bully is down and the beating doesn't stop, when does it change over from the victim actually being the bully? Does that make any sense to you?
Well, maybe they're just concerned that if they don't beat him down to the point where he can't get up again, he will get up again and hit him.
Well,
I've been in that situation myself, personally.
Can't be in somebody's mind set to understand that, but I'm just trying to point out to the fact that, you know, the scales of justice is what I'm trying to say. You know, they need to be equaled out. Whether it be the government, whether it be the people, whether it be the way you treat each other, you know, it has to be balanced out. Otherwise, you know, somebody gets more than the other guy and somebody gets upset about it. Personally, I don't care if I get the smallest piece of cake. I'm just happy I got a piece of cake, because there's other people out in the world that didn't get a piece of cake. Does that make any sense to you at all?
Yeah, the French said let them eat cake.
Yeah.
Didn't help them much though, they still chopped their heads off.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the whole chopping the heads off things needs even to occur. I think that humanity needs to grow up, start taking personal responsibility for their own actions. You as a human being are powerful, whether you like it or not. You would set into motion a tipping of dominoes that will affect not just you, but those around you throughout the entire world. And, you know, it's not fiction, it's fact. If I smack somebody upside the head and they smack me back whenever they leave, they're probably still angry because I smacked them to begin with. Somebody crosses them, their path the wrong direction, they're going to smack them, who's going to smack somebody else, and it just keeps on going until next thing you know there's a war on the other side of the doggone planet. If I want to talk somebody into oblivion, if I want to tell them, be great, degrade them so bad that I literally lower them, their spirits down to the depths of hell, I can do it. If I want to raise their spirits up to the highest points of heaven, I can do it. You can do it. We all have that capability. But if you're not out there speaking the good words, if you're not out there doing the good actions, if you're not out there doing something to make this world a better place, then you are literally complicit in everything that's going on, because you essentially, by definition, agree by implied consent that, well, I can't do nothing about it, so hey, it's not my problem. It is your problem when there's a baby starving on the other side of the world. You know, if you can sit down at night and eat a good healthy meal and not even be even remotely concerned about somebody else suffering out in this world, and you can justify it to yourself that I just, you know, I ain't no power in me, I can't help nobody, but you walk past that jar and it said, we're going to take this money and feed those people over there. Throw a couple pennies in there. What'd you lose? You know?
Do you know, tonight is Chinese New Year in Asia. And there's an old security guard that looks after the place for us down in the front area of the apartment building. And I invited him up and cooked a special meal for him because it was Chinese New Year's. Because he just would have gone home and sat there by himself.
Well, see, and that's a positive pebble that someday when he's in a position to actually do that for somebody else, he'll do that. You know, and even if he doesn't do that, at least you did something to make somebody else in this world's life better than it would have been otherwise.
You know, I mean, it's a time when people are supposed to get together and, you know, spend time with each other. And we were cooking anyway, and I said, I keep telling you about me beer battered Asian sea bass. Which is kind of ironic because he's Muslim. You know, all of this business about Muslims are bad. No, they're not. There's a minority of people that use violence as a method of putting forward their agenda and their opinion. And that is not everybody on the planet.
Well, there's
2 billion Muslims in the world.
There's people out there that claim to be Christians that don't act like Christians. There are people out there from all different backgrounds that don't follow the beliefs that they profess to stand by. There are people out there who claim to be good that are going to get up there and they're going to protect the people of the world. But then when they get there, they don't do that. Or they succumb to some sort of bribery or threats or whatever. It takes a strong and a good souled individual to literally stand in the face of tyranny and do what's right no matter what. You know, if you claim to be a Christian and you can't live that lifestyle, then don't claim to be a Christian. If you claim to be a Muslim and you can't live that lifestyle, then don't claim to be a Muslim. And if somebody's telling you to run around and chop somebody's head off, you need to question whether or not they're decent or not. What if that was you on the other side? What if that was your head that they were talking about? You know, do unto others kind of thing.
The guy came up for a couple of hours. Do you know what we spoke about?
What?
Fishing and cooking.
Well, there you go.
He was so chuffed that I'd asked him up for dinner and cooked a special meal for him that he said the next day off he gets, he's going to come up and show me how to make Indonesian satay.
Cool.
Which is basically like a peanut sauce with barbecue chicken or beef.
Well, see, Steve, that's the real world right there that you just explained. Your connection with this individual, that's the real world. That is the average Joe out there. And I truly believe that 90% of the population out here are good-hearted people that are capable of doing stupid things. I mean, there's a lot of videos out there of people doing stupid things, a lot of fail videos. I mean, don't skateboard down a rail knowing there's a potential consequence that you're going to rack yourself or face plant on the concrete and bust your arm. Common sense has to be the ruler of your life. Otherwise, when you fall down and wipe out in front of everybody and end up on YouTube and get a million hits on the doggone video because you done face planted the concrete, and you ain't got no reason to complain because you were the one that made the choice to jump on that skateboard and slide down that railing down several flights of steps and it failed on you. That's what society's doing right now. We're failing. We're failing miserably. We are allowing things to occur in this world that we wouldn't allow in our own households. And if you do allow these things in your own households, you ain't got no reason to complain when your child gets suspended from school or thrown in jail or grows up to be a druggie or a murderer. You know, if you do everything positive that you can to try to raise your children and your family in the best way that you know how, and then your child grows up to be just totally opposite, that's not your fault. At least you put the effort forward to doing what you could. And that child made their own choice from that point on.
You shouldn't take away from people that have had really desperate young lives, but they've still managed to grow past that and make a choice not to be druggies, not to be murderers.
Yep.
So there is the positive side of it as well, that no matter what is thrown at people, sometimes they just make the right choices.
I had a rough life, and that ain't no joke. I really seriously did have a rough life, but I finally come to the realization that I'm responsible for my choices from this point on. I can't use that as a crutch that because I had a bad life, I can just go out and be bad to people. No, I didn't like it when it was being done to me. So I want other people not to like it when it's being done to them. I want other people to stand up for each other and themselves. And I want society to move forward and take everything that we've been gifted from wherever it came from, whether it be a divine creator or just aliens doing an experiment. I don't care how we got this beautiful earth. We're here. We got the resources. We have the capability. We have the sum of all man's knowledge right at our fingertips. And we're at a turning point in time where we can either watch us all face plant, or we can actually do something to make this world a better place and leave a legacy behind for our children that will stand the test of time. And then someday, maybe, whoever it was, whether it be God or the aliens come back, they can smile in pride saying, this experiment worked. You see what I mean? It was a school, it was a teaching lesson, and they learned, and now they are enlightened, and now we can show them the other side of what it was all about to begin with. What's wrong with
that? There are certain religions that claim that we're all born broken and we need some guy in a dress that, you know, likes all these chants and rants and symbolism to save us. But I don't think anybody is born evil. It's something we learn along the way.
Well, whatever the case may be, Steve, you know, whatever the case may be, the reality is this. We've repeated the past too many times. We've seen too many wars. We've seen too many failures. And until we get our act together, we're going to keep going down the road. There's going to continue to be shows just like this one right here. People that are finally coming to a realization that something needs to be done or said that tries to steer the boat in a different direction. Otherwise, we all just walk away and go down to the pub and have a drink and get in a fist fight with whoever. Just, you know, hey, it's a free fall, every man for himself, road warrior society, and that's what you leave behind whenever you're done. And I'm just not willing to leave behind the world that I have to be raised in right now, the world that I was raised in. I don't want to leave that same world to my children because it was a rough road. You know, life is like wrestling the cactus. It's really painful. And it's pretty stupid to try to wrestle a cactus when there's a better way. So, well, I don't know what more to say, but we're down to the wire, so if you guys got something last, it's time to go around the table. Thomas?
You guys already said it, man.
You think we're on the right path, or you think we're just spitting in the wind?
I think we need to start putting together communal
research facilities in each community.
I agree.
And the community needs to decide that they want that and put it together, not be force-fed it, you know.
Yep, I agree.
Not going to tax them and then build it and then charge them to use it.
If you do these facilities in your own community and you have your talents of all your community members come together and help each other, then you can actually fix things that are broken, and you can educate each other in the right way and make your world a better place. It starts at your house, you know, it starts in your neighborhood and your own little towns and villages and states and countries. It starts with you,
right,
folks.
You have to stop asking for permission, too, because the government's not going to push any of that into existence because they can't put a meter on it either.
Yeah, and their track record sucks.
Well, like I said, though, they can't put a meter on it. If you build a windmill and you run power to your house to go ahead and power your air conditioners and your refrigerators or your heaters or whatever else, they don't know how much of that you're actually using, so they can get their beak wet.
Yep.
If there ain't a meter, they can't tax it.
And they got to have money for war machines.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, I mean, I looked at a lot of the eco-villages in the late 90s, early noughties, and I think they were on the right path, but they were kind of completely throwing away scientific development and improvement. And I don't think that's the way to go, because all of those people that have spent all that time researching all of that knowledge, it would actually be, in my mind, offensive to disregard it instead of using it and utilizing it in a manner that is not abusive.
Yep.
Now, that's the way I'd like people to move forwards, is to actually use the technology we've got to reduce consumerism, not to increase it.
Yep, I agree. And like I say, a library is just a building with books in it if nobody's there to study. You
right.
know? It's basically just a bunch of paper bound up and sitting on a shelf if you ain't nobody willing to read it. If you read that book and you learn something, you know, then that library is a library. If you just walk past it and you don't even go in to get educated or learn anything or study the past, or you're just going to find yourself in the same world that you're in right now. There's a lot of brilliant people out there. Get in contact with them. Talk to them. Get to know them. I've met some of the best people in the world here doing this radio show and on some of the networks that we've been affiliated with. And I wouldn't give them up for nothing, man. Because the brilliance that they bring to the table is, in my mind, the pieces of the puzzle that will lead to the ultimate solution to making our world a better place and to pave those stepping stones into the future for all of humanity. For our children and our children's children's future, what we leave them is what they'll have to contend with the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
We got to lead by example.
Which it is. The European Union, in their wisdom, when I bought my house in 2003, decided and mandated that all ground floor toilets should be wheelchair accessible, which meant I had an incredibly large toilet. So I'm a wholehearted proponent of putting bookcases in toilets so there's never a wasted moment. But that'd be my final thought for the day.
Well, on one hand, I can see their idea that whenever you get to be elderly, you might need that handrail, but, you know, just common sense, folks. Guide your life with common sense, peace, hope, and love in your hearts, and, you know, knowledge in your minds. And that's the best step forward. And it starts with the individual. It starts with you. You know, you are important, and if you see somebody out there on the side of the bridge that's getting ready to jump because they think that they're not important, you send them our way and we'll tell them why they are important. That's what the Knights of the Round Table was put up for. That's why we're here. This platform is yours. And I wish that if you like what you hear here, that you would share it with your friends. The podcast, I don't care, you can rebroadcast anything that comes on here. You can have any information off of this deal. There's no copyright issues there. We're not here to make money. We're here to try to put a seed to plant a seed for a better world, and that's plain and simple. There's no agenda other than to live in a better place than what we've got to deal with. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned. Shaziz Radio.
Woman! Man! Man, sorry! What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons.
Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't...
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, three knots where we're able. We'll routine to call a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam art. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme that our quiet hunting able. We're rock and mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot. Oh, we're tough and able, quite indefatigable.
I have to push the Pramalot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Shaziz the Turbo! Always working Shaziz the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!